my sister was getting married, and I was the maid of honor, and I had to go. I had moved to New York City, but I had to go to Jersey to buy dresses at Bloomingdale's with my aunt. You know, because I was like, the wedding was in like 2 months. And so my aunt was like, what size? I'll tell Sandy at Bloomingdale's. And I said, oh, 6 to 8. I got to Bloomingdale's. Sandy looked at my Aunt Celeste and was like, I'll grab some 12s. I'll grab some 12s to 14s.
Wow.
And that's when I was like, oh shit, I'm a fat fuck.
Double.
Double, yeah, double. Wow. Double, bitch.
And welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I'm Ari Shaffir. Thank you for prescribing to my thing. On today's podcast, okay, so here's a fun thing about New York City. Here's a great thing. It's New York City comedies. You get to come across these comedians that are always getting better. It's like this new crop of comics keeps coming up and replacing the other crop of comics. You know, everybody was like, oh, LA is going to, it's going to be done because, like, you know, 5 comics left. I'm like, that's always been the way of it. That's only recently when people were still making money in fucking stand-up that these bigger comics haven't left. It's always the way. The Yakov Smirnoffs fucking leave. Robin Williams's fucking leave. Makes way, makes an opportunity for a younger comic. The Fahims and the Santinos move up and a new comic moves up. Somebody you might have been like, that guy wasn't that good. He was only 5 years into comedy. Now he's 10. Now he's a killer. And in New York, I got to see this whole crop of comics who were fucking really funny and I'd never seen before. I've had Brendan Sagalow on my podcast. And New York Comedy Club, every time I'm there, I would always see Maddie Smith. And she would always fucking crush, man. She was always funny. She'd crush. And I'm like, I got to figure out a way to get her on my podcast. Anyway. But then later, found out. Dude, isn't it? It's weird that when you actually like, you're into, because you're a podcaster, you're into fucking horrible shit. So I found out she was a terrible anorexic for years and had eating disorders. And I'm like, if I was a regular human, I'd be like, oh, that's so sad. How are you feeling? But as a podcaster, I'm like, sweet. I'd love to fucking mine that information for you. Check her out on Instagram. It's at So Maddie Smith, M-A-D-D-Y Smith. She's funny, you guys. She's a funny comic. You can see her on Wildin' Out, which none of I don't have a single podcast listener who thinks who watches Wildin' Out. There's just no way. There's no fucking way. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Leave me a comment on iTunes, or if you're watching on YouTube, leave me a comment at the bottom of that. Your favorite memories of Wildin' Out. Give me a break. How is that show still on? And how is Nick Cannon still a teenager somehow? Anyway, you guys, I love the idea of eating disorders. I just think it's fucking interesting. Because when I was younger and I was trying to lose weight, my first year at Maryland, I would hang out with these anorexics. And I would get these great tips from them. Bulimics and anorexics. It's like, well, how do you lose weight? And of course, we talked about in this podcast, of course, they take it too far, obviously. But everything in moderation, right? Everything in moderation. So you gotta like watch what these fucking anorexics are doing and then use what they do for yourself. Same thing with alcoholics. You see somebody, an alcoholic, switching to liquor. I'm like, why do you just do liquor? He's like, you know, I don't throw up as much. Watch DeRosa, silver tequila. And why? Because he doesn't get hangovers. That's what he says, even though he's fucking consistently hungover all the time. Maddie has a podcast called That Time of the Week Podcast. You guys should all check it out. Leave a comment on her fucking YouTube or Apple Podcast. Tell her you found it through me. That Time of the Week Podcast. Real quick, my dates. Oh, if you like, if you're watching on YouTube, it's my Shroom Fest shirt from last year. The new ones are on sale right now. Podcastmerch.com/Ari. The new Shroom Fest shirt. I think if you order it by August 9th, you should be able to get it before Shroom Fest. And then they have the other shirts that are available now. The Alice in Wonderland Ari Shaffir tour shirt, which I do make money off. I don't make money off the fucking Shroom Fest shirts. It's not my holiday. I just found out about it. If you don't know what Shroom Fest is, It's August 21st to 23rd. It's an international holiday to celebrate psilocybic mushrooms. Now, the question is psilocybic a word? And we're not going to talk about that right now because we're going to talk about August 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. All you got to do to participate is take mushrooms. Magic mushrooms. Not the fucking, you know, housewife kind. Take mushrooms, everybody, and join us on the other plane of existence. I went to Rogan's. I went to Austin. Met with Tony. Shane Gillis was there. He was like, hey, why don't you come fucking hang with me? Oh, I stayed in fucking Tim Dillon's apartment, house. It was so goddamn nice. Being able to swim in the morning. Oh, you forget how much you live like a rat when you're not there. Why am I doing this intro in the rain? Anyway, it was cool. I talked to Rogan about his ideas about building the Austin comedy scene, and it's pretty fucking interesting. He's really got it thought out. He wants to turn Austin into a real hub of comedy. It's going to be a long road, but it seems like his mind is like in the right place in terms of like what he's got to do to get it there. I would say if you're like a brand new comic, or if you're a 2 and 3 year comic and you're thinking of somewhere to move, I wouldn't go to Austin yet. Or maybe. I was going to say I would wait. Oh, shit. That cracked. I was going to say wait until maybe he opens his club. But maybe get there ahead of time. There's still plenty of scenes. That there's the Cap City is now open in a different location. It's a different thing. The Creek in the Cave I just visited for Rebecca. It looks fucking sweet. Plus the little rooms all around. The Vulcan I performed at, and whatever Rogan's Club is going to open up. It's like there's a burgeoning scene there for sure. So if you're a young comic, I'd think about it. I would think about it. Tom Segura will be there, hospitalized for the rest of his life, unfortunately, for his bone breaks. But, like, he'll be there. You can visit him in the hospital, ask him for comedy advice. He'll probably just fart, but, you know, there's some wisdom in there. Oh, cool. It stopped raining. Should we start the episode? Oh, anyway. So, Austin, man, was fucking fun. I did Rogan's podcast. It's been a first time in a long time. I fucking saw his studio. It looked cool. It looked cool. I showed him some of those Photoshops you guys make. There's one that I was just too much for Instagram. So if you don't know, I ask everybody to make me Photoshops my new tour name. I don't have a tour name yet. So I let the internet, like, why don't you name it? And the Photoshops, the tour posters have come in. So anyone I can't put up on Instagram because straight nudity, pornography, too much derogatory slurs of races. The Jesus fucking Christ tour, and it's a Jesus having sex with another Jesus, but it's like full penetration. There was an Ari's Got a Herpes tour, and it's just an erect cock with herpes scars all over it, but the herpes scars were my little face. So I put those up on Patreon, patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. You guys subscribe to the YouTube account. I'm going to be posting my youtube.com/Ari. I'm going to be posting my special, my first special, Passive Aggressive, on there on August 2nd. So subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that shit. Real quick, let's take a word. Let's take a word from our sponsors. No, let me do my dates real quick. Real quick. I'm going to be in Long Island this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Levittown, Long Island. Governor's. Special guest opener. It's not that big, but it will be fun if you're there. He's a very good comic and a friend of mine. It's not Joe Rogan or Tim Dillon. Then Royer's for Pennsylvania. I was going to do Ari Shaffir and Friends. I'm just doing Ari Shaffir. I don't know how to fucking find four other comics to go with me, so I'll just get one, or we'll do some other, and I'll just do my hour. My last time in Royersford. Get tickets now. That's July 25th, 23rd, 24th in Long Island, 25th in Royersford. Providence, we just added seats to all the shows. We had like 30 seats to all the shows. So if you got shut out, fucking get it right now. That's at the end of the month. And then me and Jay, we added a second show in Pittsburgh, August 29th. Nashville, September 11th weekend. Yay, greatest victory for the Jews. And then Tacoma, Spokane, Tampa, Orlando. The inaugural show at Skankfest with me and Shane. That's probably sold out already. $1 from every ticket goes to NAMBLA in honor of Luis Gomez. And then I forget where else. Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Rounding out the year. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start, let's take a quick word. Oh, all tickets are available at arishaffir.com. Before we start, you guys, I'd say let's take a quick word from our sponsors, the ones that make this podcast possible, the money. Let's hear from them. Hi, guys. How you doing? Welcome to the ad part. You know, that intro part was pretty cool, but now that we're in the ad part, let's settle down. If you have to excuse yourself during this and take your headphones to the bathroom to throw up, to purge as you would the intro part, to be ready to binge on the full podcast, well, now's your time. Listen to this ad for 3Chi while you're doing it. That's right. Today's episode is sponsored by 3Chi, the number 3 and then CHI.com. Use promo code SKEPTIC at checkout to get 5% off your order. Here's one cool thing that ties in with 3Chi, their Delta 8 THC products. If you're like in the military and you want to pass a drug test, I would go with Delta 8. I would go with 3Chi. It's better than spice. I actually have no idea if it'll help you pass a drug test, but it's a federally legal version of THC, so I think it would, but I'm not. I really don't know. You got to be 21 and over to purchase it because it's going to get you fucked up. It's not going to help you throw up. The Delta 8 vapes, I got to assume, are fat-free. The gummies from 3Chi, I got to assume, are not fat-free. The tinctures and the oils, I got to assume, I have no idea. But those are all available at 3Chi.com. Again, use the promo code SKEPTIC at checkout. Get a bunch off your order. What was I going to say about it? I don't know what it'll do to tie it into this episode. I don't know what it'll do to your appetite. I got to assume it's going to increase your appetite. Dude, it's got to be hard to be an anorexic if you're also a pothead. Because smoke in the reef, or in this case, the Delta 8 THC, same, but different. It doesn't give you any calories, right? But the end result is it gives you calories. Kind of like Indian food, you know, doesn't give you diarrhea, but No, you're right. The Indian food itself is not diarrhea, but then you'll have diarrhea later. That's an apt comparison. The Indian food here, okay, here the 3Chi is the Indian food. And in the comparison, you don't gain any weight on the 3Chi. You also don't gain any diarrhea on the Indian food. And then later, you might gain weight on the 3Chi because of the monk cheese. And you might gain diarrhea on the Indian food because of the way your body processes Indian food. You guys, let's get back to the fucking episode. Who would make this health claim? They say that we can't. Can't say that. I'm not even going to say it, but like, that's nuts. No one would say that. All right, you guys. Yeah, here we go. Back to the episode. Back to the fucking episode. All right. Thank you very much, sponsor, for sponsoring this. And now, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 433. Anorexics have sick diet tips. With Maddie Smith. Starts now. Oh, I forgot to tell you. We did it up here on this fucking patio. I didn't realize how Irish she was. I was like, it's a nice day. Let's go out there. I should probably almost forgot to tell you this. It's a nice day. Let's go up there. So we went outside on the roof. She's so Irish the whole time. If you look at the YouTube, it won't matter on audio. She came off. She's very funny and fucking, it was great. But I didn't look at it until later. She's like shriveling in her Irish fucking burning skin in cloudy weather. And she's like, ah, it hurts my eyes. They're so inbred. They're really kind of like Jews. They really are. Just like, ah. That's why there's no Irish Jews. They're all dead. They melted into the universe. She's like in so much pain. I'm so sorry, Maddie. Reminds me of a Glastonbury Festival. I was with an Irish guy. And he was like, ah, it's like 80. I'm like, what do you mean? All the Irish people were complaining that it was too hot. Every Glastonbury, it's like, it's too rainy. But the Irish are like, this is our fucking time to shine. Ugh. Anorexics have sick diet tips with Maddie Smith. Starts now. The girl. Underway, First of all, glad you could do this.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming home from Wildin' Out for this.
Yes.
I know you only had a 2-day break in your schedule from Wildin'.
Listen, I'm obsessed with Ari Shaffir, so let's make it happen.
Is it Wildin'? Is that a thing?
They say Wildin'. Like, in the between the games, you go, Wildin'.
But it's wild
it's
and out?
Wild and N out.
And is that a play on Wildin'?
I think so.
It is.
I think people say, oh, you're Wildin' Out.
You're Wildin' Out. Yeah. But then why did they change to wild and out?
I don't know. It's literally an N.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. I don't know the history of...
Show's been on a long time.
It's been on since I was in high school.
Yeah. Is there a brotherhood like Saturday Night Live? Where they're like, hey, anyone who's walked these halls is part of the...
There's a little bit of that. They're like, you know, big people have come out of this. Cat Williams.
Who? Cat Williams?
And
that's big.
Mostly they say Cat Williams. Actually, everyone who's on there now is big in their own way, but not as much household names as Cat Williams. Getting there.
Yeah, you'll get there, Maddie. Anyway, I'm glad you could eat that sausage with me.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, I don't know what, well, I guess I don't even know which ones you have. Eating disorders. Let's get into it in a second. Okay, what's new in your world?
Nothing's new. Just got back to New York.
Yeah.
Doing shows. A few of them are rained out every so often, which is
awesome. You're still doing outdoor
awesome.
Shows?
Yeah.
Mostly?
No. Mostly indoor.
Is it now like added to the other shows? Is it like, has comedy become like the restaurants where it's like we can do in and out?
I think it's a little mix. Yeah.
Dude, those outdoor shows became so much less enticing after you didn't have to.
The minute you step inside. I did an outdoor show at a ice cream place in Brooklyn recently.
Yeah.
It started outdoors. I got on stage. It started pouring.
And
we brought everyone inside, and immediately the show became a million times better.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
There's no reason we should be outside. I didn't start... I don't like being outside. No offense to this, but...
Well, yeah, whatever.
I started stand-up to be in basements and telling dark jokes there. I didn't... Outside, you got families walking by.
Dude, I love telling the just in general. Like, New York has a lot of basement shows.
Yeah.
The Stand, the Cellar, New York Comedy Club, pretty much.
Basement
vibes. It's
just
in back room, you know? The other New York Comedy Club, the Old Eastville, where you got to walk down to even get into it. It's like... You have to be kind of a degenerate to even get there.
I agree.
So it's like, it's the vibe of like darkness. And then when you're in a park or like, ugh, at some Brazilian restaurant, it's just like, it's no good.
I agree. I'm also really pale.
Yeah.
And, I sweat easily. It's a women's issue because there's no bathrooms in the parks.
To do what?
To piss.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You guys can pee
yeah.
everywhere. We have to get UTIs waiting for the bathroom. It's a public health
UTIs
issue.
Happen?
Yeah, if you hold it in too long, it's one of the ways. I get them often. I'm a slut, and
yeah, there's that too, right?
I'm a dirty, dirty whore. But yeah, if you hold it too long, it messes with your bladder.
Really?
Long term, yeah.
Can you give a UTI to a dude?
I think it's very rare.
But it can happen.
Yeah, you guys can get UTIs, but I think you have to be really dirty.
We can get it from ourselves, or a chick can give it to us.
No. It's not like passable. I think it's just involves like if you get dirt on your shit.
Can you get herpes from a blowjob? That's another one they say is possible. But I'm like, when you say
this,
possible,
I know.
Do you mean?
I haven't heard of it happening, but every time I go down on my boyfriend, I'm like, I have had a cold sore before. Good luck, bitch.
He's like, you can stop me if you want.
But I haven't heard of it happening. It's just that's just like a 7th grade health class thing they tell you.
Yeah, when they're like, it could happen, you're like, you have got to break that down better.
Yeah.
But that's what I say for COVID. People are like, no, you can go outside. Like, you could transmit. It's like, tell me the stats.
I need more info.
Yeah.
This whole year has been like could.
Yeah.
And you're good, but you're not good.
You ever see them leaving out statistics on purpose and you can sort of see through it?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, cases are up. You're like, why are you not matching hospitalizations?
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to, I don't know, whatever. I don't
know. I actually
COVID,
agree.
Like,
I feel like when cases started exploding, but there was no reports on hospitalizations or deaths.
Yeah.
So they're like, cases are exploding at colleges. And it's like, okay, are people just testing positive, but they're fine? And all the headlines. And I'm not an anti, I'm not a, you know, COVID is a hoax type of person.
I'm a super anti-vaxxer. Go ahead. I'll tell you in a second.
But there was all these reports on like cases are going up and up. But there was no, the ICU pictures were early COVID.
Yeah.
But during the second
wave, a lot of it
was
also like, they were like old people, fat asses, you know, and people that are like asthmatic nerds pretty much.
Nerds,
like,
everyone here.
Are like susceptible. So then it was like, so the non-nerds were like, so we can go out, right? If we get it, it's no big deal. And they're like, now it's skyrocketing. It's like, yeah, yeah, you told us we're not at risk.
Yeah.
Not us, but, you know, people half my age. Yeah, it was very weird. I'm a super anti-vaxxer because I don't believe in vaccinations at all. But what I do is I go and get vaccines and then just waste them. So then I wait the 4 weeks, don't get the second vaccine. Then I just keep getting first vaccines to make sure no one else can get them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really believe in the cause.
Girl boss.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I've gotten 37 vaccines.
37 first doses.
37 first doses. Yeah, my dog's gotten 17.
That's
great. I
really
put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah. I got both doses just because I'm a pussy.
I don't even know why you have to, like,
I don't give a fuck. Just
say
put
anything
it in
about
me.
It. Yeah, just put it in me.
Yeah.
It's not the only, like... Yeah, I don't know. I'm a part most like most comics. Like we're not, most of us anywhere are not really that political or care.
Yeah,
but we're like step back and just comment on both groups.
Yeah.
So it was always like, why is this a shot you guys care about?
Right.
Why are you forming your like fucking personal belief system off this shot and not like my fucking former boss used to get these like IV drips full of saline.
Right.
No one was like, don't do that.
Yeah.
It was just like, you seem weird.
You do you, rich people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's literally half and half now, people who are vaccinated and unvaccinated.
Really?
50%, yeah.
I stopped thinking about it. I had a ceremony where I burned my masks in the park, in that park over there. I was like, I like lit a Palo Santo, you know, the thing you're supposed to cleanse the air with.
Yeah.
And then I burned a mask, let it burn up in the park until a park ranger was like, you can't do that. I was like, it's almost out.
We have park rangers?
They're not really park rangers. They're more so like they clean up needles.
Oh, yeah.
And they talk to non-needle
the
users.
The urban rangers.
Yeah. Like, can you believe this? That's their job.
Yes.
That's how like me. I saw a nice OD yesterday.
Really? In Tompkins Park?
Yeah. And they fucking, they Narcanned him. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, Narcan.
Yeah, and he comes out of it. And then like, I mean, are you just better?
Yeah.
After you get that shit?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I think it totally revives them.
Yeah, and then he started like chucking. I thought he was going back into it, but I think he was throwing everything up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was pretty
sweet.
Did
he throw up like a lot of food or just bile?
No, I don't know. I didn't get that close.
I would watch like a motherfucker.
Oh no, we watched for sure.
I would be right there.
We were talking to the park rangers.
Yeah.
The cleanup people. And then one of them was like, I need a new job. And I was like, you know what? Madison Park, there's no real like users.
Yeah.
Heroin users. First I said at Union Square, there's no heroin users. She goes, there's no heroin users at Union Square. I'm like, okay, I'll take it back.
Yeah.
There are some.
Right.
There are way less.
Tompkins is the hot spot.
Yeah. The gardeners, like half their job is picking up needles.
Right. Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was in L.A. Did it shock you for your whole day when you saw that?
Not at all.
Okay.
That's how jaded I am.
I get very shaken up when I see stuff like that. Yeah. So I was in L.A. and we were sitting outside at a little breakfast place, eggs and, you know, mustard seed cafe outside. Los Feliz. And
Los Feliz, yeah.
The waiter comes by. And behind my boyfriend, he starts swaying and he falls right down onto his head. He starts convulsing. He had a seizure. He falls on his head. Blood starts coming out of his head.
Nice.
I'm literally like, where the fuck are my eggs, first of all? Second of all, this guy's bleeding out of his head. And he had only been working there a week.
User.
I think what happened was he had withdrawn. You know when you withdraw and then you're more prone to seizures?
Damn.
So, but I was shaken for my whole day.
Really?
I'm not used to seeing stuff like that.
How long have you been in New York?
I've been here for 6 years.
You haven't shaken that shit off
yet? Listen, I live in Astoria. We're very intro level New York.
Yeah. The Greeks are nicer people.
Yeah. I feel like in Manhattan you see more of that, but I've been in Brooklyn and Queens, so.
Yeah, even for drug users, the coolest ones live in Manhattan.
Yeah. Definitely. Queens, they help you. You know, I saw a lady collapse in front of my coffee shop. Everyone gathered around and helped. They gave her water. But here it's like, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
You see something, you don't say something. Yeah.
I feel bad for the people who, like, just get dehydrated and fall, like the non-users.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. I'm like, not ugh. I need help.
No, come please.
I'm a normal. I'm a normal. Please. I won't stick
to
you.
I know. Or sometimes if I trip, people think I'm drunk. And I'm like, no, I'm clumsy. And they're like, ugh, white bitches.
Uh-huh. I had a girlfriend once who she was really good at acting like drunk and beaten.
Oh.
And she would always do it to me in the mall. It was Natasha Leggero. She was so good at it. So she'd like, I'd be like, come on. I'd just like put my hand on her like this. And she'd just, I forgot about this. It was so embarrassing. She'd be like, oh! And then she'd just fall.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I'm like, Natasha, get up. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, it's so funny.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Do you think if you mentioned it to her, she would remember doing that?
She was great at it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did people...
I mean, she was fucking with me.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Like, yeah. People would look. No one did anything. It was just waiting for that moment to be like... Hey, get the fuck away from us, dude. It was just waiting for that.
Well, that was probably a pre-Me Too movement thing.
Yeah.
Post-Me Too, you know.
You can't.
No.
Somebody takes a video of it, it'll just spin out
Game
of control.
Game over.
You're like, no, it's my girlfriend. It's a joke. It's like, funny. It's not a joke when you beat someone.
Oh, you're a comedian. You push boundaries. Sometimes you miss the mark.
Yeah. Know your audience. I'm like, I do know.
I do.
It's not you. who showed you this? They had one. I was shitting on somebody before he died, Kenny Rogers, and then somebody was. It was all these like middle aged people getting super mad at me. And then I was like, I don't get mad back. It's like, you know, half of it's like I want to piss those people off.
Yeah.
So like middle aged white people. It's like, you're a nobody. This is why you'll never have a special. And I'm like, I've had three. Like,
yeah, I had a show on Comedy Central with
anyway,
my name on it.
But I was always like going. I was like, who showed you this?
Right.
Like, you're not going to be happy about it. Who showed you this thing? I would like to know your life enough to be like, can you believe it? Just saying.
Yeah, I love people who are like, you'll never be anything, and your resume is loaded with stuff.
Yeah, it's like, all right. It's like the version of like, you ever have friends who are like, can I tell you what so-and-so said about you behind your back?
Yeah.
And you want to be like, don't.
No.
It was behind my back for a reason.
Literally, I don't want to know. I've had a couple people tell me stuff, and you're like, eh.
And then you can't unknow it.
Yeah, you made my day worse.
Yeah, you made my day worse. Yeah. For what? I'm not... Dude, we're supposed to be able to talk shit.
I know. Dude, the number of people I talk shit about, and like, I would...
Every one of your friends.
Hope. Yeah, literally. I'm like, oh, you're my best friend. I turn around. You know what she just did?
Yeah.
She said, blah, blah, blah. So, it's just like in our nature.
If you have that moment where you're all talking shit about somebody, and then you realize, like, oh, as soon as I leave... This is all going to turn on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, the circle closes.
We all like that person we're talking
about. And
they
say, Ari's sneakers tonight were extra.
Extra?
Yeah.
Is that a new phrase?
That's what the kids are saying.
Extra.
Yeah, the shit-talking thing is, you know what the worst is when you're shit-talking and you know there's a narc there? Because they're nodding and they're like, or there's someone who's like, I just like don't want to get involved in this. Shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Dude.
Get involved.
Get involved.
Dork.
Our entire career is based off our personalities. We all deserve to be shit talked.
Yeah.
We're selfish assholes.
I saw a splatter that got to me for like 2 minutes. I saw one of those like NYPD blue or like Law and Order type detectives.
Yeah.
With like some police rope around.
Uh-huh.
And I was like biking up to somewhere, Barstool Sports, somewhere like that on the west side. And like, yeah, and I was like, what's that? And like with some beat cops and like some suit cops. And then the rope and I looked and it was just like a splatter.
Oh my gosh.
Think fucking.
Shut up.
Jumper.
Oh my gosh.
I had to look away from that because I was like, I'm going to see some brain matter.
Oh my gosh. You'd think they would immediately clear it up.
And literally nobody's home, so you're being an idiot.
Well, she wants to talk about the splatter.
Yeah, I would think they would clean it up.
That's
maybe they
disturbing.
Gotta, like, test?
Yeah.
It's
they
a gotta brain,
do
all
the
right.
autopsy on the splatter.
And it was right in one of those nice flower beds that they tell your dog not to piss in.
Oh my God. That's really disturbing. Yeah, I really haven't seen it. The most shocking thing I've seen in New York was like a guy taking a shit in the Second Avenue subway station.
Really?
Yeah. But I've never seen. Insane
Damn.
Blood or anything. I just
Second Avenue, which one? On Houston?
Oh, over here, yep.
Damn.
Yeah, and I was behind
on anything?
Him.
Or?
You know like the bench in the second where only there's a lot of homeless people when they sit on the bench in that area? He was like in front of that area and I saw the shit first. I saw the shit coming out. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to.
That's crazy.
Ari just told me about a blood splatter of brain matter. Thought we were yes ending here. But yeah, I saw the... And then I think that was like within my first year and I was like, damn, I got to go to a wedding tomorrow and just pretend I love New York, you know? Yeah. That was pretty shocking
to
see.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Like human shit coming out of someone in an interior space is pretty horrifying.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty horrifying.
And then you got to turn around and go to like places with your extended family, and they're like, I could never live in New York. And you have to be like, no, I love it.
I love it, but there's moments where I want to kill myself.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff. Yeah.
Dude, you saw the shit first. Because you don't know what it is at first.
Yeah, you're
it
like,
doesn't
what's
make
going
sense.
On? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
So jerking off. Metzger used to have a great bit about it. It was like, I saw a guy with his hand in his pants, and he was sticking his hand in his asshole. And he goes, you guys thought I was going to say jerking off, didn't you? Yeah.
Even
I was
better.
Hoping. Yeah.
I was hoping.
Was like, it was just like,
oh my God. Yeah, the jerking off I've never seen, but.
I've seen that a bunch.
Yeah.
The shitting is tough. Was it on anything, did you say?
Floor.
Or was it? It was just straight floor.
Floor.
He wasn't going to clean
squat.
It up.
No.
I saw some hookers. I was with Norman. I saw a guy, a homeless dude, about to get a female homeless hooker.
Really?
Yeah. I could sort of tell. I didn't go down and look at him. They were at the one next to. A diner on 6th Avenue.
Waverly?
Waverly,
yeah.
And so there's a subway stop right there. Yeah. We're eating outside. Mm-hmm. I saw the guy, and the lady was like fixing herself up, ready to go down the steps. And she's like getting some drink. And this dude was just like, and they just come over from the other side. He's screaming at whatever. Yeah, the guy saved up. I don't know how much she would cost. I should ask her. But, and then eventually she's like, ready to do whatever. Bury the last bit of her soul.
Yeah.
And they go downstairs and they just come up. I was like, he's going to fuck her for sure. And they came back up like 30 minutes later. So I don't know if there's a quieter place to go there or it's just on the steps in front of everybody. Because you've seen those videos too, right?
Yeah, totally. Whew. So earlier you asked if women could give men UTIs in this situation. I think that's how that happens.
Yeah, probably.
That's horrifying.
That would have to be the moment.
That's the moment. Wow. It feels like Manhattan is getting is kind of a little grimy right now.
Yeah, I like it. I like it for sure.
Yeah. It's more friendly to the arts, I feel like, because before, definitely leading up to the pandemic, I noticed all the shows were very like finance bro. Lots of finance people, and there's a lot of corporatization. And obviously that's been happening for years, but
it's way lame.
It's lame.
Those guys suck.
They suck so bad. Consulting, finance.
Yeah, it's way ginger now. I go up at the Stand a lot. I go up at the Comedy Cellar some. New York Comedy Club once in a while. That's mostly where you go up, New York?
Mostly New York, yep.
I think that's where I first
saw it. But I'm open to the others. Oh.
You should try. You should audition for the Cellar right now.
Yeah, it's.
They're passing
hella
people.
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that
all
after.
Right. It just reminded me. I saw Subha Agarwal at Ben's.
Yeah.
And she was here. She lived in L.A.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's going on? She moved back. I was telling her, whatever. And then she's like, yeah. I was like, are you with the seller? She goes, no. I was like, oh, hey, showcase now.
Literally,
they are hella past minorities and women.
Yes.
And like, and she, I saw her a week later. She goes, Ari, I'm in.
Oh, my God.
Your advice worked.
Hilarious.
She's getting spots.
Yes, that's amazing. Yeah. All right, we'll talk.
Okay. All right, for sure. Yeah, you're definitely playing up to be in there. What was I just going to say? Oh, but yeah, I've noticed, at least the late shows at the Cellar, that's when I'm on, they're darker people.
Yeah.
Not color. I mean, like, souls.
Color and souls. We'll take them both. Yes.
It's nice.
It's nice.
They go with your dark jokes.
Yeah, before it was getting a little Disney World-y. You had to be a little more friendly.
Yeah.
The finance people haven't seen as much as we have.
Yeah.
And so they hurt a little bit easier.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Dude, there's some coke finance guys at New York Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah. So and finance, the Stand, too.
The Stand has... Oh, yeah. The Stand does have some coke.
Stand is very like, Murray Hill, boat shoes.
There's always two different types of coke heads. There's like... I'm not going to drop anybody's name, but like there's the cool... The people you know that like... They coke up once in a while, and then there's like the, like they feel like they're cycling on steroids.
Yeah,
you know, that's more like the bro dude, finance dude.
Yeah,
guys, I just hate that type of coke.
It's a lot.
Yeah, the comedian's coke where it's like everybody's chilling, and then you notice after like towards you drink, right?
Yeah,
you notice towards the end of the night, like, hey, how come you guys have been going to the bathroom at the same time?
you guys night? Blowing each other? Yeah, or what's going on here?
But like they're handling it fine. That finance dude, bro. That. You used to have the cool coke guy at the Stand.
Yeah.
Now you have the finance coke guy.
Yeah. The finance coke guy is just like, dude, we know you're just blowing off steam with the hour you have off of work. And it's like less cool. American Psycho is cool.
I had, you know? Exactly.
But now it's more just like these type A freaks.
There's this thing I feel like it has like first level, second level, third level. Second level is the most accessible to the most people, or to cool people. I'll explain in a second. Like, and the third level is like awful. So like, okay, you know, grunge rock at all?
Yeah.
Nirvana is like their second level. and maybe Pearl Jam too. Mudhoney was like first level.
Okay.
Nobody knew about them. You only found out about them because Nirvana and Pearl Jam was like, oh, they're our guys.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, and then maybe you'll find out.
Right.
And then the third level is when it just got super widespread, and that is the band Seven Mary Three.
Oh, I don't know them.
It's just, okay, whatever.
Is it grunge rock or should I know them?
No, you shouldn't. Oh, okay, I'm glad you don't. Yeah, I stopped because I was like, good, they died. They're not in public sight anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just the most accessible version of it. Yeah, like, whatever American Psycho was like cool and second level, and now it's like, oh, you guys are just acting like a knockoff of the main thing.
Yes, totally. You're doing what you think is what you think you're supposed to do. You're like, oh, we went to the Cellar last week. Fucking suck.
Yeah.
Sacha Bell, shut up.
One time at the stand, the old stand, somebody dropped a baggie on the
steps. Oh my gosh.
And a waitress found it, and so we decided we were like, we're real family there, so we're all have fun with each other.
Yeah.
And so I was emceeing.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, give it to me. And I was like, hey, if anybody dropped a Coke baggie on the steps, and you see like eight people just
go like that. Oh my gosh.
You see it in the crowd, like,
hilarious.
The ones who don't do Coke.
Yeah.
It's like what?
People do Coke?
Like,
yeah.
They just laugh, but you just see the movements. It's pretty fun.
That's
you actually
great.
Probably do that without finding the baggie.
Yeah, just
do it and see who like jumps
up. It's like
up.
The equivalent of the Suburban, like, hey, Honda Civic with your lights on.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? I forgot what it was. I got to play Seven Mary Three when I leave here to remember what it was. Maybe I shouldn't. All right, let's talk about your fucking crazy eating habits.
Yeah.
Are you still whatever you got?
No, I trained myself over the past couple years to be...
You had it in New York?
Yep.
What kind did you get? All sorts or one?
So it's more... I would label it more as like disordered eating, weight issues type of thing.
Yeah.
I guess there's a difference between eating disorder, or you picture like... Anorexia, bulimia.
Anorexia, bulimia, those are the top two.
Never had that.
Never
had bulimia. I dealt with the anorexic thing for a second.
Me too.
Dealt with the binge eating was a huge one for me.
Did you get fat?
Mm-hmm.
But you never purged?
No.
Wow,
I really hate vomiting more than I like being skinny.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Okay.
So when I was in college, I started to experiment with like a little bit of not eating. And you're like, damn, this is so easy.
You just burn it's habit forming, right?
Yeah.
You just got to form the habit.
Yeah.
And then you're like, good.
Literally. And you shave off every sort of like food that adds calories. So you start eating like an egg white omelet for breakfast. That's like 100 calories.
With no, that's like nothing too.
It's nothing. With like all vegetables. You tell your friends, you're like, just really into vegetables. No, bitch. You have an eating disorder.
So you have to like pay attention to calories at all times. It's not just like I'll eat something small. It's like something specific that
specific.
Won't add on.
Yeah. Not giving advice to people, but when I started, you know.
Oh,
like,
no. Here's, okay. I'll stop you there because everything in moderation, right?
Yeah.
Including
anorexia.
But like the tips you have for weight loss are great.
Yeah.
It's just you take it too far.
No, totally. The calorie counting works.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're counting only up to 600, you're like, okay.
Is that what you were down to?
Yeah. For at the beginning, because you know the beginning, it's easy. Because you're like, what? It's like on every TV show when a girl gets an eating disorder, she eats nothing.
Yeah.
And then she passes out. And then her dad's like,
yeah, what's wrong with
Caitlin,
you?
You can't be doing this. And then that's it. So the beginning, it's easy because you've never experimented like this before. And you're like, why doesn't everyone eat 600 calories a day? And that's when the vision, the headaches, the heart inability to like stand up start coming in.
Wait. Vision?
Yeah, your vision starts blurring if you do it for a long time. Yeah, but the bad part about it is like you get excited. You're like, it's working. Like when you start to get lightheaded, you're like, yeah, skinny queen.
Yeah, because it's a sign that it's working.
Yeah. Like if you stand up and you don't get lightheaded, you're like, uh-oh, did I eat too much today?
Did you go the other way sometimes? I would go back to this. Did you go the other way? So like you ever like eat a bunch of pasta and just like.
Bleh. Yes.
So would you ever feel like, and I've gotten that way when I'm like my skinniest. I've gotten that way when I haven't eaten much.
Yes.
So did you ever go like, fuck, I fucked up by feeling full?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Totally. So when I was in, like, sophomore year of college, I started experimenting with, like, a little bit of the starvation thing, but it backfired because I would smoke weed at night.
Yeah.
And just, like, binge like a motherfucker. I also had some, like, probably depressive issues where I was, like, using food and alcohol at the same time. And weed to bury. Only, like, within the last 2 years did I realize I was using food as, like, a... Because when I started comedy, I would, like, have a bad set and just, like, immediately go to CVS and consume.
I remember you being that heavy.
What, I don't think
what?
We met when I was...
Oh, really?
I was, like, 220 pounds when I first started.
Damn! So
literally. We can post some pics on the podcast if you want
For sure.
Yeah, we'll post a little Transformation Tuesday
photo. For sure. I would love
it
to see you
at
220.
Heavy. So what happened in college is I lost all this weight. I got down to, like, 125.
Yeah.
I was pretty hot, not to brag. And then...
Yeah.
Then senior year, I got super, like, depressed, and, like, I gained it all back. I gained, like, 100 pounds in, like, 3 months. Isn't that insane?
Wow.
And, like, I literally lost my mind because you're, like, you feel out of control.
Yeah.
You feel like you're reading into what everyone says. You're, like, people are, like, you look great. And you're, like, do I? Or are you just saying that? You know, people are, like, and then you start to gain more because you start
That's
panicking.
That's like when you're on psychedelics and people are, like.
Yes.
You seem weird. Like, are you trying to fuck with me, or are you? Do you really think so?
I'm being weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same thing.
Damn.
Yeah. So you start gaining all this weight. So it started with the little taste of starvation. Then it started binging.
What'd you binge on? What was your thing?
Everything in the world.
Just food.
Food. Yeah.
Not like candy or
no. You'll go to Wegmans. I'm from upstate. We go to Wegmans.
Wegmans. Yeah.
Get like a 12-inch sub.
Start there.
Move into the, like, 18-pound bag of trail mix. Eat all that.
Yeah.
M&Ms, fruit, everything.
That's interesting. You ever played dominoes? You've played it before.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like you have a 6-6, and then you can attach that to a 6-2.
Yeah.
And then from there, a 2-4, mm-hmm. and then a 4-4, whatever.
Yeah.
You went from salty to trail mix,
mm-hmm.
which is salty plus M&Ms,
mm-hmm.
to just a nice combo straight to the straight M&Ms.
Yep. What you learn...
Yeah.
When you eat, is if you just, you know, alternate flavors, you can probably never stop eating.
You can go back and forth.
Yeah.
Salty, sweet, salty,
yeah.
sweet. And then there's salty, sweet. There's another
umami
one, too.
Umami or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That's
but
like
you
know eggs
he's
and
eating
shit.
Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, eggs, is that?
I think, yeah. Like the taste of yolks and it's
yeah.
more like a Japanese thing. You won't catch me putting eggs in my rotation. It's mostly just candy and Doritos. But even now when
it's
I'm, you know, when I like film and stuff, I turn to like binge eating as like a thing.
Why? I thought you were going to say the other way. I thought you were going to say like I starve myself before I go.
No,
on air.
Not at all. Sometimes I get the urge to go back into the starving thing, but
yeah.
then I'm like, eh, it takes up too much brain space.
Because it's easier on your day. It's like less time. You don't have to like go eat.
Yeah.
So you're 220 and you lost 100 pounds. How tall are you?
No, I was, when I started college, I was like 160. And then I was down to 125. Trigger warning. I know people don't like weight numbers. I don't think your audience cares about trigger warnings, though.
No, I don't think
so. But then after I got down to 125, I went up past 200 pounds.
Yeah.
It was like a whole yo-yo.
They don't care about trigger warnings.
They don't care at all.
You would have to like come here to look to be angry to get a trigger warning.
Yeah.
I will tell my audience that the new Gossip Girl is the teachers.
That's what I've been seeing on Twitter. It's the teachers.
Oh, they've already said.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I heard the teachers are really bad people on the show.
They're spying on everybody.
Yeah. I bet the writers were like, we're so fucking sneaky. Shut up.
Who was it the first time? The fat chick.
No, it was Dan Humphries, the Brooklyn guy.
A dude.
The guy who plays you, or plays the stalker in you. In the show, you, not you.
Wait,
yeah.
He was Gossip Girl?
Yeah.
And he said girl to throw the scent off.
Yes.
Smart.
Really smart.
It worked.
That's...
I still just found out right now, years after the show ended. Smart Humphries.
Did we ever find out who the Gossip Girl was? Yeah, he lived in Brooklyn and was like, I'm poor, even though they lived in like a huge loft. Because that was like before 2010 when you could make jokes about Brooklyn being like a poor place to live.
Sort of, still.
Yeah.
When I moved here, I was like, I guess I'm no way I can afford Manhattan. Let me
yeah.
try Williamsburg. And then I was like, I cannot afford it. And then like, oh, wait, Manhattan's cheaper?
Yeah, Manhattan's cheaper than Brooklyn.
Yeah, except like the front lines of Bushwick.
Yeah.
Where do you live?
I live in Astoria.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You told me. Astoria's safe. It's just like safe.
It's a little boring.
So you never threw up?
No.
Did you ever
Too
do
lazy.
The laxatives?
No, too lazy.
Did I ever
lazy.
Hold any enticement to you?
No. The thing with that is, like, they talk about the, you know, people talk about the consequences of anorexia. They're like, yeah. You die. I'm like, eh, whatever. But the bulimia one, like, your teeth enamel, like.
Comes off because of the barf.
Yes.
And that's why the shitting is better.
But then it's like, it fucks up your system. True. I'm like, yeah, I'm only here for a short time. You know, and if I die, I die. If I die, I'm thin. You know,
so anorexia is healthier for you.
That's what in my head, I was like, yeah, take a little, cut the fat, you know?
The laxatives or the puking, it is like, there's an extra layer of that. One, you're not getting nutrients.
Right.
Although you get it anyway, right? Don't you get some of
it? I don't know. I always read it like, doesn't work, but then people who do it, it works for. It just doesn't.
They look good. No, not always. Sometimes you see them like super skinny.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you ever spot a like an anorexic?
Yeah.
Where you just like a waitress, you're, I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, I can see
you're it. Like, I know exactly what's going on here. Yeah. Or your friends start getting into working out and eating well and you're like, I know exactly what's going on. Uh-huh. They start like eyeing the dessert and they're like, I shouldn't. And you're like, okay, all right.
Why are you saying that out loud? Just do it or
just
don't.
Just do it or don't.
But yeah, they, I'm going to get a dessert. You can.
You know,
it's up to you.
It's a mental illness.
Did you have body dysmorphia?
Yes.
You did.
From like age like 11.
That's an interesting one because like you can even have that as a super fat person.
Yeah.
And that's what made like Ralphie May, I've said this before, I'm sure, would eat on the way to go eat
with other people. Oh,
so
my.
That they didn't see him eat
literally.
A bunch.
I've done that before.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard alcoholics doing that too. They stop at a bar, get a little tipsy.
I've only
before.
Had two.
Yeah.
And then you go like, I've only had two with you guys. That's all I drank.
Yeah, yeah. What's the big deal?
I mean, I may be a little loaded, but like,
I black out
easily. I should have had a Belgian.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. IPAs are really strong.
Yeah.
But yeah, the eating thing, I've done that before. Like in the height of it, I would stop at Tim Hortons, get two donuts and a bagel, meet people for dinner.
Wait, Tim's got to Buffalo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Across
it's in
the
Buffalo.
Border?
It's in Buffalo, yep. And Rochester.
Wow.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's the best.
That and the salt beef for fucking
the
way of the world.
Tim
now.
Hortons, Mighty Taco. So yeah, I would pregame
at
meals. Yeah.
Damn.
Or post dinner, go back and get something else. Eat, like when I first moved to New York, I would eat dollar slices like every hour. Just like fueling like an emotional, just like chaos.
What were you burying emotionally?
I don't know. I think I had a lot of parental stuff going on, a lot of low self-esteem. I had low self-esteem till like a week ago. So
she's dreaming.
The dog is dreaming.
Rolling her eyes back.
She's like, I'm bored as fuck.
Yeah.
But my mom.
You had low self-esteem until a week ago.
Yeah, until like a week ago. Until you asked me to do your podcast. I was like, okay, I'm coming up in this world.
I have worth. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. You ever see that chick on the sink? You're beautiful.
Yeah.
You're great.
The affirmations.
Uh-huh. And there's another one. And then they're doing it again. Nicole Arbor posted it, but I saw through it this time because one, she's using words that are definitely too big for like a 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And two, it keeps cutting in between.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the parents are just feeding her lines.
They're feeding her lines.
Yeah, the first girl that was standing up in a sink was just like cute and just doing it.
Right.
And this one's just trying to cash in likes off their daughter.
No, dude, I'm done with the TikTok people posting their kids or even Facebook.
It should
the
be illegal.
Constant
it's not up to
posts,
you.
I agree. I have some family members, some cousins are in. Stuff who post their kids nonstop.
Oh,
and I'm like, this has to stop. And they get millions of likes. And this kid's going to turn 15 and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm a
fucking
tool.
And then when does it stop?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. They're a baby. Who cares? It's not going to haunt
baby,
them.
Baby,
like,
whatever.
But
yeah.
But like 2, 3, 5, mm-hmm. 12, 15. Now they look like them.
Yep.
And that 15 shit's going to come back with a 25.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you didn't get permission for this.
I agree. When I have a kid, if I have a kid, you will not catch me posting that thing on medias.
Also, it'll be ugly.
It's going to be hideous.
Nick Cody posts pictures of his kid and his wife,
mm-hmm.
But he puts like a fucking happy face like stamp on top of his kid's face.
Or people do like the baby's facing the other way and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like little hints at the baby. Chelsea Peretti only posts like.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I asked him why and he was like, what do you mean? You know why. I'm like, oh, good. I thought that's what it was.
Okay.
But like, good.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing.
Dude, you never know with your kids, especially, I don't know. It's just like not something. You take your photos, put them in your little album or whatever.
Yeah.
But like you said, with the TikTokers, they're making their kids into little personalities, which is even more scary than just posting photos of them.
When I got him, it was like, they're like, does your dog have an Instagram yet? I'm like, no. And everybody at the dog park was like, he will. And
God.
Like, you'd be surprised how little time I have for that
you
shit.
Shut up. If you started your dog's Instagram, everyone would be like, Ari, are you good? Are you okay?
You ever misconstrue somebody's motives as like a comedian? You forget they're comedians.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what the fuck's that? And then, you're like, and then it hits you like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Bargatze was talking. I do these like yoga classes online where I teach yoga, but it's moronic, retarded. Like I'm not good at it, and I just like make up stupid names. But then Nate Bargatze was like, I did it for like a year already, and Nate was like, "Oh, dude, I'm sorry. I finally checked out one of those things. Like, or I saw like a clip. You're talking about the Holocaust for like a yoga move.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought you were like seriously teaching yoga.
I thought you were.
And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed that. I apologize.
But sometimes people, comedians venture into other stuff.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even go the other way. Where I'm like, even if like, I'm serious. I'm like, you're not.
Yeah.
I refuse to give you that. You're not. You're joking.
Or just quit.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people ultimately do.
Wait, what was I saying that for? Oh, the dog. Yeah, if you have somebody have a dog Instagram, it would have to be like, I'd have to assume they were joking.
Right.
Or someone else's dog.
I know, I have a comedian who they started it for their cat and they thought they were going to be able to make money off of it. But it's like, to
write
do
jokes,
that,
dude. You already have a path to success.
Yeah, just keep going. People, it's been easy, you know? But people, they panic. And also, like, the people who have, like, pets, Instagram, or influencers in general, they do way more than we even think. That's like a full-time thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, sheen on every picture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta get them in a cute thing.
A
setting
cute thing,
up weird stuff.
Sponsorship.
Having balls of yarn around.
Balls of yarn around. Colorful, clean places, which you and I don't have.
No.
So.
They don't have a box room like I do.
Yeah. So, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Anyway, back to your fucking horrible disorder. So, you were working out shit with your parents or just not, or just like whatever?
So, my mom was always on like diets growing up.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the body dysmorphia started.
You got it from her.
Yeah. Because she would never like say, oh, you're fat and shit like this. But she would always say, Janine, that's her name, need to lose 50 pounds. I, blah, blah, blah,
and then you're like,
am
I
disgusting
like my mom?
Fat cow. Well, I think you hear stuff like that. And so like by age 11, you're like, oh, shit, body should be small. Or like she would like buy like all this healthy food or like slim fast and stuff like that. And it's just like, I think a lot of girls, it's ingrained in you from a young age to start counting calories and like nutritional stuff. Even if your mom doesn't say it to you, just like in your climate, in your household climate, if there's talk of weight loss.
Is there a healthy medium? I can't, like, you tell me. I hate to say as a woman. Or just another person. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to be just a normal weight without having to be like fat and go like big is beautiful, where it's like it's a fucking stretch, or anorexic? Is there just a normal way to be just like be healthy?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's when you get to like body neutrality.
Yeah,
where you're just like, yeah, this is my body. It does what it does.
Yeah. Gain a couple pounds, I should just lose it back.
But I think guys are better at being. Because I had a personal trainer friend who said when guys come in, they're like, I gained some weight. I'm ready to get it off. When women come in, they're like, ugh, I'm fat as fuck right now. And they get more emotional.
I'm a terrible person.
And it's part of their worth. But guys are like, yeah, I should probably get back to the gym a little bit. But women, it hits them really hard. And I think it all comes back to the moms.
Wow, trying to be like your mom.
Yeah.
Who's trying to be in shape.
Or hearing stuff or seeing your mom.
Even your fat moms who are like, I'm too fat. You're like, oh, there's a too fat.
Yeah. And having like the literature around, the constant purchasing of exercise machines. You're like, oh my gosh, you are aware of like sugar and fat count from a young age.
Damn.
The scale.
Yeah.
And just having that in your environment, I think.
Because you should be like healthy-ish.
Yeah.
As a kid. Shouldn't be eating Twizzlers all day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just don't have it in the house. Don't like tell
that
them
too.
Like, that's evil.
Yeah, totally. Or have it in, I think what you're supposed to do is like have it in the house and teach kids to like when to
have it.
How to have a treat.
You ever see fat kids?
Yeah.
Like fat, like 10-year-olds?
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you guys doing?
You're like, holy shit.
Are the parents not seeing this?
Literally. But then as a parent, how do you say, hey, we're going to cut back on. I think you have to do it in a sneaky way.
Maybe, yeah.
And be like, hey, we're going to McDonald's. I'll order for you one cheeseburger.
My mom used to get these sugar-free candies.
Yeah.
And they were like, what's the flat, like, rectangle ones? Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like that. But when you bite them, couldn't open up your mouth.
Oh my gosh.
It became kind of fun, but it would like stick so hard.
I love that.
Like,
yeah.
What is this? And it was like, it's sugar. I don't know what it's sticking with.
I don't know what it's made of. Yeah. And there's chemicals, but bring it on. Diet Coke, bring it on.
Yeah. Is that a hawk on that cross? I think it might be. Can you see the cross?
I can't see it. Oh, yeah.
I think it might be the.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Sorry, everybody. You're not going to be in on that. So how'd you shake it?
Just, so it was years of like doing the starve, the binge.
Yeah.
The summer starve, of, the binge. A summer of full starve.
Yeah.
A year, 3 years of full binge. And then I shook it by just starting to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily and stop. Because what you get into is like a,
you get into
a cycle of like, okay, tomorrow I'll be better. And you're like, all right. And then you eat like, you know, one meal. And you're starving. And that's how binges happen, is because biologically, like, you can't resist. And you blame yourself. You're like, I ate so much. I'm a fat fuck. No, you ate so much because you starved yourself.
And so then you kept eating way past your... Going to be full, still going down.
Because you're absolutely starving. So I just was like, all right, I'm going to start eating 3 meals a day. I'm not going to focus on nutritional stuff. I'm just going to start with like 3 meals a day. And then a year later, I got down like 60 pounds because my...
Damn, really?
I was like passively... just like passively not focusing on food all the time. Because when you eat the way you're kind of supposed to, you just like forget that you ever had an eating problem. It's actually, I know I'm speaking basic facts right now, but you get away from them so much. Yeah.
Any of the people who are like, I get what you're going to say, but like any of the people who are like, that's not exactly right. Like, yeah, I'm not a fucking expert.
I'm just saying my personal thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's people who are into the intermittent fasting and stuff like that. But
Becky owns into that. It's like, dude, come on. He said he can't get high anymore because he can't fast while he's high.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
It's always the stocky people. Him, my friend Steve Simone. It's like,
yeah,
you guys are stocky. And you're always dieting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you guys are fine. Just chill. You're men. Do 2 pull-ups and you'll be great. It's in men too, but I know a lot more women who are into it. So yeah, I shook it. I also stopped drinking beer. I think when I started comedy, I was drinking a lot of beer and like coping with the anxiety of everything by like drinking beer with people after shows. So I slowed down on beer.
What'd you do? Switch to another type of booze?
Yeah, kind of a little bit more and just less. I would drink like a lot when I first started.
How old were you started?
I'm 29 now. Yeah. I think I was 24.
Yeah, it's hard not to. You're around super funny people.
Yeah.
In a bar setting, you get free drinks. Other people are drinking.
Yep.
Because they were in this. And it's like, why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't I?
And I did my job. I did my job.
I did my job, yeah. And now I'm just like hanging out. I was also nervous, low self-esteem, fat. You're like, okay, you know how I can be fun.
I would have loved to have seen Fat Maddie.
Oh, man. She was a blast.
Really?
She was a slut.
Really?
I went on no offense to the guys. I catfished a lot of guys because you just a face pic on Tinder.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, well, my personality will shine through this one. It never does.
Dude, I had a chick show. I'm not going to say what city, but I had a chick show up to my hotel room and I realized I'd been catfished. And it must have been an old pick, not just an up pick, not just like a downward.
Yeah.
But it was like, you ever like think things through in like a half second, where it's like you can have like a 2 hour long debate, but you're like, it's done.
Yeah.
I was not going to be able to kick her out.
Okay.
To be like, nah,
right.
No way.
Right.
And it was like, she came over to fuck. There's no way I could do that to someone.
So you fucked?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Not hell yeah. I was so fucking, I felt awful. I felt awful. The whole next day, I was like going through it. It was just like, ugh. I felt abused. It was really bad. I mean, I don't want any sympathy, but like, God damn, it was fucking terrible.
Yes. Yeah,
it's hard. And then I was probably fucking without a condom back then, too. So I was like, I'm going to get an STD because of that. On a fucking, I didn't even want it.
Right.
You know? Ugh.
Yeah, road sex too.
Yeah,
in the hotel room with the.
And then it was at least like she left afterwards.
Yeah, at least boner and then leave.
Yeah,
you know.
And then just like shame. It was so bad. It's so much better, like when a hot chick comes and then like leaves. I don't know. You ever get laid on the road?
No, I've only been on the road since having a boyfriend. So also like a girl, it's different for female comics. And you're like, I could get raped and killed, and
you can't really get raped when you're inviting a guy over to fuck you.
Usually it's the men approaching me and
saying what?
Hey, are you doing anything after this? And you're like, yeah, anything but you.
Yeah, you know.
It's different. I just feel like women, they love funny guys, and then the only guys who like funny women are just freaks of nature.
It's weird.
It's really weird. And it's weird. There's just this.
It's also like the idea that's like when a guy gets a girl to come up to him, it's like, hey, I know this is not normal in life or the people you come across, but I, the woman, am willing.
Yeah.
And like when it's the opposite,
yeah,
you're never like, I, the guy, am willing. Like, yeah, I already figured all of you in the audience were willing.
All of every man on earth is willing. You don't need to ask me twice.
Did you hook up a lot of comics? I'm not going to ask you.
No.
You didn't?
No. Coming up, no.
When you were fat, Fat Maddie?
No, it was more like Tinder dates. And then I think a total of like four comics. It's just...
I mean, it's messy, but it doesn't mean not everyone has done it, hasn't done it.
I really, I have a lot of friends who have had sex a lot, and I'm like, you do you, but like the workplace thing, and then people seeing my body, and then... You're on stage. It's a lot. Oh,
especially now. I mean, anybody some of my friends are hooking up with, even in comedy, I'll be like, got a picture. So it's like, it's even more in comedy, actually. I'm like,
totally. Let me see. And then, like, they turn around and they tell someone how weird you are at sex. And
I don't need that.
People talk about everything. If all I do is lay there, people are going to call me Stone Face Maddie. You know, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Yeah, you want to like, your bad part should be like, not come back around your circle.
No, you want it to be anonymous.
That's why you never liked hooking up with people's like, a friend of a friend.
No.
It's like, hey, my friend so-and-so. It's like, but you're going to find out.
Yeah, you're going to find out everything.
If I don't call them back, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
If I can't get a boner, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
If I fucking anything.
Yep.
Anything.
Literally everything. So I try. I also don't think I give off big, like, I want to fuck you guys energy in comedy. I'm very like,
you really don't.
Getting like, this is a workplace, and I will be clocking out.
Sister vibes.
I'm like, dude, we got an HR. I'm pretending we have an HR, so let's keep this at a professional level. But when I first moved to New York, I would go on, you know, like Tinder dates and
catfish
and,
guys. Oh, that's how we got into it.
Yeah.
Catfishing.
Yep. I would
how dare
like
you, Maddie.
I
how
know.
Dare you.
Listen,
abuse
but
man.
But when you're at the time, I didn't even realize how large I was, because when you look in the mirror, you're like, it's a body dysmorphia thing. I always see the same person, whether I'm 120 or 220 pounds.
Yeah.
So you can't tell until like photos come out, and you're like, oh shit, I'm a fat fuck.
Right. Or somebody reacts to you. You're like, what was that?
They're like,
really?
I didn't even see you there, or I saw too much of you there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first instance I had of like, oh, I'm kind of fat. My sister was getting married. And I was the maid of honor, and I had to go. I had moved to New York City, but I had to go to Jersey to buy dresses at Bloomingdale's with my aunt, you know, because I was like, the wedding was in like 2 months. And so my aunt was like, what size? I'll tell Sandy at Bloomingdale's. And I said, oh, 6 to 8. I got to Bloomingdale's. Sandy looked at my Aunt Celeste and was like, I'll grab some 12s. I'll grab some 12s to 14s.
Wow.
And that's when I was like, oh shit, I'm a fat fuck.
Double.
Wow. Double, bitch. Yeah. So it's stuff like that where
that's not going 6 to 8 to
I'll grab a 10.
8 to 10.
No, yeah. Low. It's, she's literally like, let me go to the plus size area.
That's plus size.
Mm-hmm. And I cried in the dressing room.
Remember when they, really?
Yeah, like a pussy.
Because you realize.
Yeah.
The size can't lie.
Especially when you, no, size can't. This is the size. Same with the scale.
L, M, and XL, and S, those can lie a little bit, depending, but a little bit.
Yeah. A woman's dress size, though, when you think you're a 6, but you're a 14, you're like, okay.
34-inch waist is always a 34-inch waist.
Always.
So those don't fit tighter.
It's inches, yeah. So I think that was a big, like, fuck. And the difference, I think, between, like, when I was really, like, really skinny and how many dudes wanted to fuck versus when I gained weight. It was just, like, a lot of clues.
Oh, right.
Too.
Yeah. I was laying on my side once when I was at my heaviest. I was as big as you got, but I'm quite taller than you, so you were way fatter than me.
Yeah.
I was lying on my side downstairs, and so, like... imagine me on my side, and then the stomach was just kind of like resting on the ground.
Yes.
It like took the shape of the ground.
Oh my God.
And my sister just goes, ew, Ari.
Ew, Ari.
Like, what? And I'm like, at the time I was like, whatever, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But it stuck in my head, and then I was like, managed to get healthy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I should, you know, drink more water and start walking a little bit. Also, like, when I moved to New York, I was, but living in New York, you can kind of passively.
Yeah, you just walk.
You just walk everywhere.
Butts of New York are the best butts.
Yeah, I agree. And, like, the suburbs, I don't know how people, when you go to do shows in the suburbs, you're like, I know why you guys are all fucking fat.
Get in your cars. You walked 15 feet from the
parking
lot.
15 feet. And no amount of Pelotoning is going to turn that around.
You got to walk all day.
Yeah.
What about water? That's a pretty good tip, huh?
Water's a great tip. All day. Helps with the digestive system.
Oh,
helps you stay full.
Okay. What about bubble water?
I'm obsessed with bubble water.
Even more. It fills you up.
I agree.
Hella. And then you
it
burp and you feel like,
good.
Cool. That,
yeah.
was, that means it was taking up space.
It fills you up. We have a soda stream at home.
You want one? You want some?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Sorry.
But yeah, bubble water. Bubble water is awesome. Yeah, pretty much just like feeding yourself what you're supposed to.
Three meals a day. You
it's
know
the
sumo wrestlers
thing.
Eat one giant meal a day?
That's I don't know about that. What do you think?
I mean, well, they're I trying to be fat.
Yeah, they're trying to be fat.
Yeah, yeah. But so that's when like body dysmorphic people.
Yes.
It's like, I don't think they realize, like,
yeah.
you're taking on what a sumo wrestler
a
is
sumo
doing.
A sumo wrestler. Yeah. And that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Massive meal.
Isn't that crazy? And then you ate three meals a day and shedded pounds.
Yeah. You just start to be like, okay, wake up. I'm hungry. I'll eat a little something.
Get something started.
You get hungry 3 hours later when you're supposed to. Eat something. Stop when you're full.
Yeah.
Because once you start doing that, your body's like, oh, I'm good on food. Versus before, it was like an uncontrollable bottomless pit where you're like, I can't stop eating. And now it's like, oh, I'm good. And I'm still surprised when I'm eating a meal and I'm like, it could be a plate of nachos and I'm like, I'm good.
Before the meal's over, you ever do that? You ever like finish and then like there's still some left?
Yeah,
and
you're like,
I don't want anymore.
Yeah. And you're like, whoa, am I growing up? Because my only goal was to not be like in my 40s, like a mom who's like, I can't stop.
Oh.
You're just like, I'm a fat fuck. I can't deal with that.
Once it's too set in, you're fucked.
I know.
There's no getting over.
I
mean,
know.
How many people lose a shitload of weight in their 40s?
I know.
You know?
I know.
So I feel bad at those 10-year-old kids that are fat. I'm like,
I know.
God, you're giving them no chance.
No chance at all.
The odds of getting being fat your whole life and then at 31, like, I'm going to shred it now?
Ugh. There's nothing worse than hanging out with someone who's currently trying to lose weight either because they leave the bar early.
They're
they
like
do
new
like
alcoholics. They're just lame.
They're lame. Yeah.
Yeah, they leave the bar early. Exactly.
Like one vodka soda and they're like, oh, I got to get to class tomorrow at 8 a.m. They eat salad with no dressing.
Yeah, and there's always talking. They don't just do it. They're talking because they're new to it. They're
and
not
they're
just like
they're starving too.
Mm-hmm, so they're in a bad mood and they're looking at your food.
They're obsessed. They're like, I wish I could eat like you.
Like, shut up about it.
Yeah, I think everyone's goal should be like, let your body get to where it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And then you can just like be normal in social situations. And also get rid of like, I want to look like Kendall Jenner because it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
She doesn't even look like that.
She doesn't even look like that.
Yeah. I mean, I have that with when I hang out with like alcohol, like Joe DeRosa.
Yeah.
But like, he's pressuring me to drink more. And I'm like, Joe, I can't drink like
I
you.
Literally
I will throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me so happy when he throws up. I'm like, good,
right.
I did
I
it right.
I told you.
But like, no one does that food-wise. If they see you eating a salad, they're like, come on, man, have a burger.
Right.
they don't bother you.
They don't bother you.
Like,
they talk shit about you later.
Sure.
They're like, is
she
okay?
They should. Is she okay?
What's going on here?
Did your family worry about you when you were ups and downs?
That's the thing is like I have like an Irish non-confrontational family, so no one said anything to my face.
Yeah.
Same with my friends. This is how I know I didn't have good friends in college because no one said like, are you good? They all just like, you know, teetered around me. But like now I think if I gain 100 pounds, my best friends would be like, Maddie, what the fuck is going on? Everyone in comedy would be like, are you okay?
Right.
So that's how I knew like you have like on the surface friendships.
Damn.
Yeah. Little notebook.
Yeah. I wrote some questions down.
Okay.
How mental is it? Body dysmorphia. I love the idea. Oh, I was telling my friend about body dysmorphia yesterday. And he's like, he just got under like 200 pounds for the first time or whatever. And he's feeling all good about himself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm 20 something pounds less than you.
Right.
And 2 inches, 4 inches taller than him. 54 minutes ad break. And he was like, what's body dysmorphia? He's weird. Psychologist doesn't understand this. But I'm like, you just don't see yourself as what you are. You see, like, you're bone thin and you just see your fat. You're like, which I had that. I'm like, I still got love handles.
Yeah.
Or like, you're super fat and you're like, I look good.
Good. You know,
it's dysmorphia the other way, I guess.
I combat body dysmorphia by taking pictures of myself, because then you're like, oh, okay, I see. But I have now I have insane photos of myself on my phone, and it's just like,
what, trying to look at being the
just like to see what my body looks like.
Yeah.
Some people have like sexy nudes. I have like
just realistic
and
nudes.
And it's just like, you know, like what's the Da Vinci thing with the that's what it looks like on my phone, because you're just like, and but then when you see that, you're like, oh shit, I look good. Or
you don't. It is such a weird thing that you don't see yourself as other people see you.
It's so annoying. And how does that, at what point do you stop seeing yourself as where does it, is it like 15 or something?
Where you stop seeing just what you are?
Yeah.
It's also when do you start caring at all? So like a 7-year-old doesn't even think about their body.
They don't think about their body,
And when do you start caring, and when do you not see what everyone else is seeing?
I think it depends on external things people say. Everyone has that moment when they're like, oh, I realized I was ugly when blah, blah, blah. Like, for me, I had a really young age. When I was like 5, I had like buck teeth. They went like right angle, like that way.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of them. But then when I was in kindergarten, everyone was like, you'll definitely need braces. Your teeth are fucked up.
Damn.
I went home crying.
Because you're going to need braces.
Yeah. And I was like, and that was the moment where I was like, oh, I thought I was totally cool. And then someone told me. And it's the same thing. It's not till people tell you or you get rejected, and that's when you form. Yeah.
It helps. I guess it could go both ways, boys or girls, but like when a girl's like, you're ugly. You're like, what?
Okay.
I didn't even think that was in play. And then it's like, why would you say that unless it was for sure true?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty harsh thing to say to someone.
Yeah. And then I found out until later, there's also like types.
Yeah.
So like, if you're into Semitic looks, like Jewish chicks love me.
Okay.
Way at a way higher rate than non-Jewish Jewish chicks. Are like, you're disgusting, Ari. And then the girl right next to him, fucking, you know, Perchi Lipschitz, whatever, is like, that guy's so hot.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. And it's all like, they were raised around. That
you're. What were you raised around?
I was raised around white people.
Me too. I have trouble seeing other races as like sexual.
Yeah.
I really do. It's tough. A dark-skinned black chick, it's like, can't even see it.
Yeah.
Latina chicks, it's like, it's starting, that's the frontier. Like, there I'm in. I get that. Super Asian, it's tough. Like, even like Thai hookers, I'm like, you're too Thai. Like, I'll make it work, but like, I'm making it work.
Yeah.
But Brazilian hookers are no problem. Mexican hookers are no problem.
Yeah, I have no problem with Mexican hookers.
I did actually have a massive problem getting a boner with one because it was so hot and I was nervous as shit, but it wasn't that she wasn't like attractive. Yeah. And then what else is there besides whites, Asians, blacks, and browns?
What about like a Swede?
They're whites.
Yeah. Indigenous.
Indigenous. They seem almost Asian to me.
Yeah.
Asian and Latino, sort of in the middle.
I can get pretty sexually attracted to everything.
To everything.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
How lucky
it's,
for you.
It's more just like when I meet someone and if they remind me of my family, I'm like, oh, I know who you are.
Then more.
Not more, just like I'm more familiar. You know, like nice brown hair, very pale, early grays, going bald.
Early gray.
Yeah. Dairy
just
farm.
Falling apart.
Oriented.
I was a lot like Jews that way. That are like the inbreeding is really taking a toll on on everything that's there.
Yeah. Irish people too.
Yeah. Just they don't look like they're flourishing bodies.
Yeah.
I feel like they're in the process of shutting down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like right away. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely types are for sure.
Yeah, some people
thing.
Are into fat chicks.
Yeah.
Some people are into anorexic chicks. I don't get that.
That's why at the end of the day, you're like, all right, well, someone's going to be attractive. Also, like, once you get into a relationship, you're in a relationship, it's like... They find me attractive. At the end of the day, he's still going to suck on my titties. What does it matter if I eat bread? I'm not going to starve myself because I have a boyfriend who's going to lick my clit no matter what.
Yeah. You know? Sucking on my titties like they want
to. Sucking on my titties like they want to. And then you also have to be like, oh, I think former fat people always have this fear of like, what if I gain 100 pounds? But you also realize, like, I'm almost 30. I'm like, I don't have the mental non-awareness to gain 100 pounds.
Right.
You have to trust yourself to be like, I'm pretty mindful.
You would see it at a certain point.
Yeah.
20 pounds in, I went on the Jokers, in Impractical Jokers, did a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been on a cruise before. Yeah. But it's a small town.
Yeah.
I mean, like a few thousand people.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go outside of that town.
Nowhere, yeah.
Have you been on one?
No.
Okay.
I've been to Aruba, similar.
Yeah, and it's just like buffet. It's yep. only buffet. You go whenever you want. Mm-hmm. It's always open except for like an hour. And then you're like leaving and your buddies are like, we're going there. I'm like, hey, I'm like, well, come with us. I'm like, no, I'll come with you. I'll sit with you. And then I'm like, well, I'm here. I'll have some fries.
Yeah.
And then and yep. a burger and like whatever.
Yep.
And I gained 21 pounds.
Oh my gosh. Drinking too?
Yeah, for yep. sure drinking. But in a week, it was the buffet though. I know yeah. booze weight. This was food weight. I couldn't get, but then when I got home, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I had to like work on it for a while.
Yeah,
it took me like 4, 5, 6 months to get it off. I was just every time I tried to drive, I would just stay right there.
So fucking annoying.
Finally went down.
It's so fucking annoying how easy it is to gain weight and how hard it is
it's
to get
so
it off.
So much harder to lose weight.
It's so hard.
God damn, it's not like I'll eat more, I'll eat less.
Nope.
I'm back.
Nope. It's like, and you're fucked if you eat sushi the next day, 10 pounds heavier. It's really bad. The beginning of quarantine, I got kind of scooped back up into the eating disorder because you're like, okay, I don't have a career. Here's the one thing I can control. And I was like weighing myself like hourly.
Really?
It was like compulsive. Got down for 15 pounds by June 2020. And then I was like, I'm losing my mind. What the fuck are we doing here? You like wake up in the middle of the night because you're so hungry. And you're like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I also think when you weigh yourself every day, you're like, why isn't it coming off? And you turn a little crazy.
I would weigh myself every day for a while.
Yeah.
Multiple times a day, you ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like take a shit and you're like, okay, now is it down? Or
that's fun though.
Yeah,
the post shit dump. I like to weigh myself right before, right after, so you can
yeah,
tell how much
you're
like, dump
oh
weighed.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Is that even legal?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Yeah, I should have taken a picture. That was a 4 pounder.
Yeah, so disturbing. Yeah, I'll do it, and then like the night before, I'll do it at the end of the night. I'm like, all right, how much can I
and
lose
like, this
while I sleep?
Count. Exactly. Yeah. How much can I lose while I sleep? But
so
that means you're
stupid.
Obsessed with the weight.
Obsessed.
The whole time. Damn, that's yeah. so interesting. When did you start losing your vision? That's a weird
that was
thing.
When
or get
I
like lightheaded.
That was when I first, in sophomore year of college, when I first started doing like 600, 700 calories a day. That's when it was like, I'd be sitting in like a proofs class and be like, oh shit, damn.
You feel yourself like
the board's blurry.
Out.
Yeah.
Damn.
Board's a little blurry. You stand up and you're like, okay. All right. Meanwhile, at the same time, I was running 4+ miles a day, just totally like grinding my system down.
Oh yeah, the running. I forgot down. The anorexics
in
college. Yeah. They run
like a bitch.
And don't feed it.
No weightlifting, just pure running.
All cardio.
Elliptical, yep. A little Stairmaster.
They'd be nonstop, and then they'd eat whatever little they had to.
Yeah.
I remember an anorexic girl from college, some redhead chick, and yeah, she would run nonstop. She first taught me that like anorexics have great diet tips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, eat half a bagel. Just eat a portion of each
That's
thing.
That's actually a good tip for regular people. Eat half a bagel.
Yeah.
Those things are
it's so big and there's all carbs.
I know. But pretty much all you need to do is like eat a little bit. Keeps you going. It's like in The Devil Wears Prada,
yeah.
Emily Blunt was like, I eat a block of cheese when I feel like, or a cube of cheese when I feel like I'm going to faint.
Oh my gosh.
All you need.
I know somebody used to work for anorexics, and they were always like eating popcorn, unflavored popcorn.
Unflavored skinny pop.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And then limiting the size of the bag. But it's like, this isn't anything, but
mm-hmm.
it's just getting you not angry hungry.
Yep. Air. And there's all these new snacks that you'll see at the bodega. It's air food. Air puffs.
Air,
like
wow.
Corn pop puffs, and it's all just air
corn
food for
no
the girls.
Too,
yeah.
Right, basically.
Yeah. It's just air food. Gum. They'll chew gum all day to avoid.
To give yourself a feeling. Did your breath get shitty?
I think it did, because
yeah.
I read online it gets shitty as I was like boiling my computer with my bad breath. I'm like, ah. Yeah, I think that's a problem.
It's melting. You're like, no,
yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's not the bulimia for sure.
For sure.
But then anorexia, because it's like.
Yeah. You just have a dry system.
You ever get off stage after doing an hour and then
mm-hmm.
like or whatever, or like a headline set, and it's like. Like, whoa, my God, I can smell it.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. Yeah, it just cooks your system.
Bobby Kelly has this new like gum or something that he sticks like not snus, but like that shit he puts up there.
Oh.
And like while you're on stage, you can't see it. It's like that small, but like it slowly releases some like moisture.
Oh.
So he's like, when you get off, you don't have like bad breath.
Interesting.
But he has this thing on like a canker sore, and it's like,
ew.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, man. Just drink fucking 2 sips of water every 20 minutes.
Yeah, or have a little gum in your pocket for when you get off.
When you get off, yeah. Just counter it after you get off. Yeah, so you don't stick that way.
Yeah, it seems easier than having a canker sore in your mouth.
He also is burying whatever his fucking mental problems are by buying things. So he's like, here's a new thing.
Dude.
Paid for.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
We're good on that.
I was buying a lot during the quarantine. Like
really?
every week, like a new, you're like, you feel a little empty and you're like, oh, it's because I haven't purchased anything in a while.
Isn't it weird how we form our self-worth on what we're buying?
Yeah. And you just like get excited about the packages coming. You open them. You don't even like look at what you buy. You're just like opening them.
It was just
tracking it.
Yeah, the buying was the main part.
The buying. Yep.
And then searching. Opening is like a nice little surprise.
Yeah. I haven't bought anything in a minute though. I'm like, it's worn off.
I remember the very beginning of COVID. I remember the different stages of it. Like the first stage of like winter gloves and like a ski mask to go to a store.
Yep.
Like we don't know what the fuck this is. Might be zombies, you know? But we were about to leave. We were about to flee New York for the quarantine one. And we had to take her to the only vet that was still open.
Okay.
Drop her outside. Yeah. Like a can over the leash. Like step back.
And contact then they free. Take her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then we were driving back across town from the west to the east, and we were passing these like stores, the Gap, Abercrombie and Fitch, American Eagle, and they were for sure closed. I mean, that was like, no way it was that gonna be open, you know? And it just looked so foolish that that was ever a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, why did anyone need to go to the Gap?
Yeah,
what
know.
What a dumb, compared to this like dumb, fear of everything shutting down and like not shutting down, but like ending, all society ending is like, we were worried about getting new jeans when we already had jeans.
Jeans, H&M.
Yeah.
The gym even. You're like, we went to a gym?
You just run outside. You spent money. Everybody's like, everyone's job is done. And you were spending $100 a month for a place to run?
You fucking ass.
You couldn't do push-ups in your apartment?
Yeah, totally. Everything became. And then it was really crazy when outdoor stuff and the restaurants, people like were clamoring over each other just because they like getting served by someone. That was the big, they're like, I miss restaurants so much.
I feel not poor.
That was a little unsettling for me, was the immediate like, we will sit outside and eat just because we want someone to bring us calamari.
It was gross.
Yeah.
Not just the behavior, but I mean like, it's still like you're near a dumpster in the fucking new Manhattan, in the summer Manhattan. It was like, guys, we can smell this. There's a garbage truck going by. You have to bury it and like, and the grime, and like if you anywhere the cellar, you know, their little like booth thing before it was kind of open on both sides, and you just get harassed by homeless people.
No,
they're a little better now, but it's like, why are we here?
Why are we here?
Like,
I agree.
Let's just do takeout and go home.
Yeah,
it's not open yet.
Just do takeout.
Yeah, you're right. We wanted people to serve us.
We want people to come by. Hey, our specials for today are meanwhile, the waiters are stressed as fuck.
Stressed as fuck.
Because they're not making enough money. They could be on unemployment. No one's, people aren't tipping.
By the way, every comedy club needs employees right now. If you guys have ever wanted to work for a comedy club, go apply to one.
Yes.
Specifically, the Denver Comedy Works. Go apply to the Denver Comedy Works.
Yeah.
DC Improv, The Stand, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Magoobies in Baltimore.
Yep.
They're looking for people. Cooks especially, but also
and
wait stuff.
So are airlines.
Airlines
I saw
are
that pilots are about to make like $300 an hour because there's no pilots right now.
So they're about to get a raise of $300 an hour?
Yeah, or they, if they join now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so go to pilot school, guys.
It's probably too late for that.
Yeah.
You could be a cook now.
You can be a cook
a
tomorrow,
sure.
Definitely.
It's a fun place to work. Yeah, right. They're just like, I would rather be on unemployment than this, especially when that Trump 600 kicked in.
I know.
And you're like, why am I giving this up?
I was making bank.
Were you really?
Like so a motherfucker. Good.
My boyfriend got a raise after like lost his job before COVID, and then suddenly was like getting no questions asked, you're getting it.
Yeah.
And then 600 on top.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting $100 more than I was.
Dude, it was crazy. It was crazy. It gave me a little boost in my life. I was like, and I, it was, I didn't participate in the unemployment for a second because I was like, it'll be 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then a month later, I was like, I guess I'll submit for this. I made fucking bank.
Bank. Anyone who didn't was a moron.
I know. And they were giving, and then they were giving grants out the grants. For like small businesses. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm a small business. Bring it on. So dumb, the stimulus.
The Lakers got like $4 million or $6 million yeah. off one. I forget what it was. And then people found out about it. So like, no, it was a clerical error.
Yeah.
I'm like, and once they found, what?
It's yeah.
like, but they're like, we're a business too. We're like, fuck off,
fuck
Lakers.
Fuck the fuck. Everyone was taking so much money.
Mm-hmm.
People who stormed the Capitol had gotten money
really?
And stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so great.
So great.
I wonder how many of those Capitol stormers were just like, had no intention of it. Then when everybody's going, they're like,
yeah.
I feel like they'd stop if we're not allowed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was
just
a
like
weird
looters.
Day.
No one. I mean, some people probably went to loot.
Yeah.
But like,
I think for the most part,
people just went to protest and yeah. then like, well, they're all running in. Let's go in.
I guess we'll go in.
Yeah.
No one wants to be a...
They're coming out with free shit at Target. Like, they're getting the good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I got to get in my Xbox. I got to go in and get my podium.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's... I think it's just, like, fever mentality.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just from, like, the summer, I think in the protests, people just go where the crowd's going. You just follow the crowd.
Yeah, that's why that Reginald Denny stuff. Remember Reginald Denny?
No.
He was during one of the original Black Lives Matters when... Rodney King got beat up. You know
okay.
that name? Rodney
yeah.
King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they pulled over this white truck driver, and they stopped. He could have just run him over, but he's like, no way. And they pulled him out, and they fucking took a fire hydrant, and they fucking bashed on his
head.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah. And no one was like, hey, guys, this guy didn't do anything. He's just
right.
a truck driver.
Oh, my gosh.
Who wouldn't run us over.
Wow.
And then it was just mob, and it was like,
yeah.
it's on.
That's,
like, yeah, mob
yeah.
mentality.
That's the Capitol one.
Yeah.
Everyone was watching, like, a threat to our country. And I'm like, I think it's just a bunch of idiots.
Bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Didn't
know,
yeah, you guys are reading into it.
Didn't
it
know what they were doing.
Attack.
No.
They nailed it, though.
I do. I also think, like, the Capitol Police, like, just don't face stuff like that on a daily basis.
They're not trained for that shit.
They're literally, it's like a tourist destination. It's like security at Disney.
Right, right, right.
Sir,
you're being too loud. It's like the most they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Sir, no, you can't cross the road.
No, you cannot go into the White House.
Yeah.
And then they're met with, they were like, I guess I'll let them. They didn't
army
know.
Coming?
Yeah, they didn't know.
It was like Libya when they had to like retreat into like
yeah.
a back room. And they're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. I don't know how to fuck. There's an army.
There's an army. Yeah. So, I don't know. Weird year.
What a fun year. So much shit going on. So your family didn't do anything. Did other people care? Your friends?
No one said. I'm pretty sure they talk shit about me. I've told other people about what happened, and they're like, they talk shit about you. You,
yeah.
I probably would leave, and they'd be like, is she okay? Like, she's massive now.
Yeah.
But it was senior year. Everyone was on their way out. No one's going to have an intervention, and I was also unhealthily skinny, so maybe they're like, oh, she's recovering.
Oh, right.
When you got thin. Yeah, so maybe they were like, okay, well, she's just learning how to...
Because also, like, she looked terrible before. Maybe
yeah.
she didn't look great. I mean, if you're, like, bony thin
yeah.
or, like, the opposite of that fat, people are way easier on you on the thin.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
You can't... Your shirt can be droopy and hang off
yeah.
you. It's okay, but, like,
yeah.
there's no hanging off you if you're fat.
Yeah, just your fat hangs off you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the skinny.
So I'm sure
think,
people are like, man, she looks better than she did.
Yeah, I think when I got really thin, they also saw me like only eating like a granola bar, and so when I started to gain weight, I don't think they knew how to react, because it was like the reversal of.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get it.
Tough place to put your friends.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, what do we say something to her?
Yeah.
What are we gonna say to
I
her?
I mean, I know a couple of fat people now who are gaining weight. I'm not gonna. It's not my business.
Would you tell a good friend of yours she's gaining weight or he's gaining weight? Like, hey, man.
If it got to maybe my boyfriend. Yeah. You know, I feel like you have a comfortability with someone you live with. You're like, what's going on, buddy? A friend, though.
A boyfriend would be like, hey, come on.
Okay.
Like, I'm still attracted to you, but
yeah.
it's headed towards the door.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, you get in a relationship, you can be pretty honest with each other about that. But friends, especially girlfriends, I think guy friends are like, hey, buddy, what's going on here? But girlfriends,
yeah.
you never know.
It's also so hurtful to a girl.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I told a girlfriend once she was gaining weight. It was such a hard, like, I shouldn't do this, but she was an actress, so I'm like,
yeah.
She wants to know this.
How
I
did
know
you
she
say
wants
it?
To know.
Yeah.
It was just, like, real, like, trying to do it as caring as possible, but it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be to a comedian. is when you have to tell somebody that joke's been done.
Yeah, or like, hey, you've been kind of hacky lately.
Yeah, that kind of shit where it's like, hey, that whole that whole angle, man. It's like,
yeah,
but it's working. It's like, I know. So most people don't say it to people. They're like, they don't say, hey, that's a George Carlin. That's a well-known George
Carlin.
Bit.
Yeah,
they're just
like,
hold it. Because also, I've said exactly that to someone. It's like, I know you didn't take it or anything. But
no, just so you know.
No one's going to assume you he took it from you. He died years ago.
Yeah.
So like,
it's such an awkward conversation.
Yeah, they go, oh, well, no, I came up with it. It's like, no one's like, fuck, thank you for telling me. It's always like, God damn it.
Yeah,
you just took away my thing with the truth. But like,
Best
case scenario, like, now I got to dump 10 minutes.
Right. Whenever people tell me that, I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm not married to it. But it's, you know, I don't get too attached. And it's usually on stuff that's like, okay, that makes sense. It's a relatively easy.
If it's first time, then it's like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
If it's like, I've been doing it for months where it's like, it's like a high up
and it's
bit,
like a big bit. Yeah. It. You're like, ah, fuck.
I got off one of my first sets back at the New York rooftop, mm-hmm. the Comic Club rooftop. Yep. And Sagalow had to tell me fucking that some COVID angle I had. I think I even said like, is that hacking? He goes, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, damn it.
So honest.
I was gone for so long.
Yeah.
It was just about eating ass if you lose your sense of smell.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But luckily it was like once and done.
Once
like,
and
all
done.
Right, I got to run out of it. But
also, it's like, I'm pretty safe to assume all the COVID stuff has
been
touched.
Absolutely.
Same with like any sort of take on dating.
You can't be like, that's my angle. I saw some comic do a joke about the subway. And it made me realize how hacky I was when I moved to New York.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, fuck, I also had that almost the same
literally.
Jokes.
You're almost like, all right, you'll be someday.
You'll be embarrassed of this too.
You'll be embarrassed. Or you say like, you see people do like the easy like bait and switch things. And you're like, all right, hopefully you grow out of that.
Yeah.
But if they're your good comedian friends, I think it's like for some, even more than hacky, if you see someone like coasting for a while.
What do you mean?
And you're like, you've been doing the exact same set for 2 years.
Yeah,
do you want
right.
to talk
that's
about
a,
that?
That's a better example. How do you tell somebody like, hey, dude, you're not writing.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Because you can't accuse them because they might be like, well, you've just seen me like 3 times over the last year.
Right.
I do plenty of other stuff.
Right. But do you?
But do you? Then why do I think
this?
Is
the question.
And then you could be like, okay, then maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hey, you're getting some weight? It's like, no, I just went on a cruise. Oh, okay.
Literally, yeah. Joker's cruise, yeah.
I did that with Eric Griffin. I was like, I followed him at the Comedy Store. And he was like, I was like, because he lost a bunch of weight and I was really proud of him. And then he gained it all.
Oh,
and
man.
Then some. And I was like, fuck it, Eric, you got fat, dude. Because we could talk to each other like that. And he was like, it was the holidays. I'm like, dude, it's late February.
It's late February.
Yeah, you don't have that excuse anymore.
Yeah, we are 1/6 through the year.
Was Valentine's Day hard on you?
Yeah, like, Valentine's Day, MLK Day, President's Weekend. Yes. Dude, it's
yeah, how do you tell someone they haven't been writing material?
I don't know. I've seen some lately where I'm like, dude, are you good? Like,
it's also a little bit not your place.
No. And comedy is so individualistic. Yeah. Like,
but also, like, we used to check each other. There's a couple comics that were like real, like, everyone would try to talk like them.
Mm.
They're just like impressionable. Like, I don't know.
Like Norman or
Mark Norman, maybe a little
bit.
If he has that, sure. Attell, when he came to town, I would start delivering my any joke I wrote after I saw him for a week. It would be in that cadence.
Yeah.
Brody Stevens was a big one. You're not gonna like this. I don't know. And then Al Madrigal was another one.
Okay.
But I would have to. Brody got so bad that I have to tell my friend, like, hey, if you see me doing Brody, not his jokes, just his cadence.
Yeah.
I was like, interrupt me. Just yell from the back. You're doing Brody, and it was embarrassing, and it was the only way to shake it.
Yeah.
But like, if we didn't say, like, let's do that for each other,
then
it would just be like, there's no. So it's like, how do you tell somebody who hasn't said, like, hey, call me on it if I don't write new material?
Literally.
Because no one says that.
No, no one says anything, actually. We're all kind of towing around each other right now. There's like, I don't know, we all like roast each other at the table or like in the green room, but when it comes to like material, we're all like, good set, good job.
It's kind of off limits.
It's a little
even
off
the people
limits.
I don't respect, I said that to somebody recently. I was like, good job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think
yeah, what's
that's
going
a good
on
job.
Here? Yeah.
It's not my place.
Yeah, it feels like back in the day there used to be more like, I was arguing with Seinfeld about this joke.
Yeah.
There would be more craft talk back then.
You can't shit on someone's act. That's like You can, for sure. You can do whatever you want. Sure. But like,
yeah,
that's the most personal thing.
Yeah.
And so even when you're like arguing, it's like, you're not funny. First of all, it's also subjective. So yeah. Like, but you could be like, you haven't written a new joke in fucking 6 years.
Yeah, I feel like when we should like be real, able to, it's like, oh, damn. That. Yeah.
You're not funny is too easy. Because like, what do you mean? We're all funny. We all get laughs.
I know. Literally, Chris D'Elia has 2 million followers.
Yeah.
So
it's a retarded thing to say.
Who am I to say? But yeah, the growth thing is like.
Yeah. How would you tell a friend? How would you have an intervention for comedy?
I don't know. Maybe like a facetious, like, hey, maybe blah, blah, blah. We'll have some new stuff today.
I set up for my last hour that I was doing. I wanted some feedback from people. From comedians. It hit me that I have access to the top people in my field. You know, we all do. But nobody wants to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So how can you get feedback from them when they don't want to hurt you?
Yeah.
And positive feedback is almost unimportant and unhelpful.
Yeah, I'm literally, same thing. I just did an hour or two for the little first time ever. And it was all, I was like looking for any sort of critical.
Sometimes they'll even fight with you. They'll be like, no, yeah. I joke didn't have an ending. Like, no, it was great. I'm like, no,
I'm begging. I'm fine with it. Please tell me. So that everyone said positive stuff?
No, that was the issue, was they were all going to say positive stuff. Yeah. To get any sort of negative, any sort of positive feedback is, maybe it's like, hey, that one joke you do. I mean, you say that to somebody. Do you still do that joke? I'm like, no, you like that? I was like, yeah, I do. Yeah. Bring it back. I'm like, okay. It could be a little helpful. But I realized like if they're on the record of it for it, it's not going to help. So I made business cards. With an anonymous email address that I said I would not be, and with the password. So it would be from this address to this address.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't even be from, like if I gave you the card, it wouldn't be from Maddie to this.
Right.
At first I thought maybe I'll have my web lady like, look at that.
Oh, shit. Little mating.
Yeah. Like, this room's taken.
Let's go back to the concierge.
Maybe I'll have her take it, just like put it into a list for me. But then I'm like, now you still feel like you're on the record. So I'm like, sign in from this email address. Write in anything you see that I need work on. Most people wouldn't do it still.
Yeah.
One, because everyone in this comedy is solipsistic and like only worries about themselves.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, that too. Gonna. Yeah.
But the ones that did was like, I can freely tell Ari, like, hey, this is an issue.
Right.
And I'm sure if you get one thing like, I don't like that. Let's just say, if you get three of the same comment.
Yeah.
You're like, I got to face it.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's the only way you grow.
I think I like that as a way to get like real feedback from
people. I like that, yeah. The only time I got real feedback was, so Andrew is my boyfriend and he like opens for me just because I have a credit. Andrew Chavone.
Okay.
So he opens for me. So we went to City Steam, which is one of those Ryan Broth gigs in Connecticut. I'm new to headlining because, you know, I'm like 5 years in, but I headline.
Damn.
It's early. Post-pandemic. It's just because I got this MTV thing.
Yeah.
That people are like, oh, let's get her on. I'm like, okay.
It's good for you. It's working headline, now, but it's early for
it's
sure.
It's early. But post-pandemic, I did this show in City Seam. I thought I was going to crush. Literally started eating it after 20 minutes. Yeah. And I had like a while to go. And I was like, Andrew, that was horrifying. And he's like, no, I didn't think it was bad. And then we went to the venue again this past weekend, and after I went up, he was like, that was way better than last time.
I thought it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I was like, now I don't trust anything you say. So people will always say, like, oh, that was so worlds better than last time.
Yeah, the comparison.
But I'm like, but you didn't tell me that last time. Like, your agent will be like, you crushed this audition. But then the next audition, they'll be like, last time wasn't that good. You're, like, gassing me up, and now I have trust issues with everyone. So I honestly feel like people are afraid of just.
Yeah, it's like, what do you get? How can you can't say? I get why it's hurtful and people react not great. So is it worth entering into a dangerous situation to help somebody? I mean, we had a friend who was having an episode, and one of the first people to tell them, like, I'm worried about you mentally, was like, "Fuck you! What the fuck? Who the fuck are you?"
Oh my gosh!
And then like, do they get an apology? I mean, that's the risk you're taking.
It is.
Yeah, how do you say, like, I mean, my agent, he now is, like, fine to tell me, like, to talk with me about it. Because I'm like, it's not great. Because like, he's like, I'm sure you'll be great. I'm like, yeah, dude. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know where my line is and what I expect. So we're talking about based on what I expect. Where is it? Not like, it's better than this fucking formerly not comic turned comic.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, yeah, I know.
I'm aware. Thank you for telling me.
I wonder how you get. But then eventually it becomes like, so what do you think you should be doing? I'm like, more spots in town or like got to work on my crowd work. It's like, oh, how will that help you? I don't know. There's got to be an honest way to talk about it.
There has to be, other than like, no, you're good. But the
asking, like round table of your friends?
Maybe. Maybe focusing on non-comedy people to tell you, because we're also all so focused on ourselves.
Yeah.
They're like, why would I give Ari feedback when I got to go home and
bad feedback won't get Ari to help you.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Right. Yeah.
Only good feedback will.
Yeah.
People want to hear it. That was amazing.
Right.
Huh. No, you couldn't even do it with your friends. You would have to bring up yourself. I'm having trouble with endings of stories.
Yeah.
What have you guys seen?
Right.
And they're like, no, you're fine. Stop that.
Shut
just
up.
Just tell me like,
shut up. No, you're killing it, dude.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
Huh.
Is this weird, just playing nice right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When some shitty comic gets off stage, what? I saw Ron White first time at the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know. His old special was like really good.
Yeah.
You know? And any like anybody who's been a celebrity for a long time, I think people get judged on like a few scales.
Mm-hmm.
So there is regular comedy scale where it's like I see you and I expect this much from you, so you're better or worse. There's sometimes, no offense, a woman scale
mm-hmm.
where you're like you just expect less from them.
So then
the line here is for the regular person, then here for, so if you're a little better than that, like, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, that's great. Because you get treated sometimes like as a new person. You're still new, but you get treated as a new comic.
Definitely.
Even when you're like way, way in. And then the celebrity, you expect even less than.
Yeah.
So
no,
like if
totally.
You see, I don't even know who, Ray Romano, Michael Richards,
mm-hmm.
you almost expect the same from them. You expect like you're not a real comic.
Yeah.
With the exception of a few like Chris Rock,
right.
Chappelle, where they still like Rogan. They're still like current comics.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I guess I put him in that celebrity category in my head,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, he got off, he didn't do that well,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know what to say, but it was like, oh, cool, I'm seeing Ron White.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, great job, man, that was really funny. He just goes, meh. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know it wasn't.
You know.
You know it wasn't. You weren't happy with it.
Right.
You're still a now comic, and you're like, who is this? Get the fuck away, I know I did bad.
Right.
Quit gassing me up.
Yeah, totally. I think there's a line between being like, dude, you just bombed, and being like, it could have been.
You can do it honestly too. You can be like, so cool seeing you.
Yeah.
You know, instead of being like, that was great. We're
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who the fuck is this dishonest
what
person?
What are we doing? We're exchanging like empty yeah. compliments at this point.
Did you ever get hospitalized for eating disorders?
Never hospitalized. One time I gave blood when I was super thin and I was lightheaded for like 6 days and I had to go to urgent care, literally.
Damn.
And I had to go to urgent care and they were looking at me like they knew exactly what was going on. And they were like, just keep chugging water and eating. That was like a big scary thing. That was like, all right, I'm kind of destroying
myself.
Because
you weren't
recovering. Yeah. You're not supposed to be lightheaded for 6 days after giving blood.
No, maybe a little. They like sit here and eat a cookie and then go.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you must be like, first of all, there's no way in hell I'm eating that cookie. That's never going to
happen.
Yeah,
I was like, do you know how much sugar is in this?
Yeah, and not the orange juice either. I will drink water.
Orange juice. Do you know how much sugar is in orange juice?
Orange juice. Remember when you're finding that out?
Yeah.
Orange juice is not good for you.
Pog.
What? That was healthy.
Juice. Yeah, smoothies, acai bowls, game over.
Acai bowls are weighty.
Yeah, they're weighty. Oh,
yeah, those are billed as like healthy desserts.
Yeah. They're all, everything has sugar in it. That's the other thing is all women know the calorie counts of every food.
Really?
Yeah. We're literally like Rain Man when it comes to food. Bananas, sandwiches, salads.
An egg.
That's why people love sweet green so much because it has the calorie counts on
Remember
there.
When they started doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when I was still super health conscious.
Yeah.
And it was like so helpful.
Yeah.
And that would make my decision. Even if I wasn't eating the healthiest, but I can see it, the airport like Burger King or whatever, boom, 700 850.
Yeah, when you see something 1700, you're like, oh my god, I was gonna get the super stack or whatever. I went to Denny's recently. Some of their breakfasts are literally like 1800 calories.
Wow, that's your day.
That's
supposed
a day.
To be your day.
That's supposed to be your day.
Soaked in butter.
Yep.
Fried
syrup.
Oh yeah.
Bacon. Also, it's
remember
shocking.
Finding out that the worst thing for you at McDonald's was the bun.
Yeah.
With all the poison that's in the meat, that's
totally.
Half-cart. It's just the bun was like 70% of the calories.
So bad for you. Subway bread is really bad for you. They said Subway tuna doesn't have tuna in it.
No.
Yeah, they said that like a couple weeks ago.
I won't eat Subway anymore. That was one of the things I cut out.
No, I haven't been. I mean, it's just, even more than anything, it's just the saddest establishment to enter.
Yeah.
They look at you like they're pissed off that you're about to get Subway. McDonald's is like, all right, we get it. But the fact that you have to tell them what to put on your shit is like, yeah, no one
just
wants
like,
to be
get
there.
A burger. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah.
And it's like, I'm watching you, I'm like, and you're overseeing them at every yeah. step, and they feel you overseeing
lettuce,
them.
Lettuce, tomato.
And you're like, they know you're looking at how much lettuce you put on.
Yeah.
Not too much, just a little bit. I said, yeah. No, just a little bit.
Just a
Do you even know how to do your job?
Yeah.
Can you imagine talking that way to any other artist?
You just turn into a Karen. Everyone who orders at Subway is just
is a Karen.
Inherently
you get your Karen,
Karen
out.
Yep.
That's a good way to get yeah. your Karen out, to boss people around
mm-hmm.
and they have to take it.
Yep.
They should be able to call the cops on Subway people.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
There should be a hotline there. For Karen's
I
like,
agree.
In. This guy put tomato. I told him not to, and he just took it off and didn't start over.
Yeah. You know I'm allergic.
Do you ever work service industry?
Yeah.
Waitering, food?
I worked at a pizzeria in Buffalo for like 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Funnest job ever. Everyone's so like dumb, and they just like peek out
and
there.
And they have money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have weird money. They always buy new cars. And
yeah. I'm like, what? Yeah,
because they just don't have
cash on them too.
They don't have debt, and they probably do some side gigs and stuff like that. That was a great summer. Like Buffalo people in the summer, they fuck. We used to party until like the early hours. Just get blackout. Like everyone's wearing their Pizza Inn clothes.
Did you start comedy there?
No, I started here.
Okay,
I moved here and started here.
Do you know Jimmy Pidd?
No.
Okay. He was a guy that was a door guy with us, and he moved to Buffalo, and he kept saying he was starting comedy again, but...
Oh, okay.
Whatever. But
all right, Jimmy.
Don't worry about it. But, yeah, he would tell me about the Buffalo couch lock weed. Like, they love indicas. Tell me if
oh,
I'm wrong.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, why do you guys like... What a great term, couch lock. And he's like, because the fucking winter lasts, like, 9 months.
Yeah.
We want to make yourself want to go nowhere.
Yeah. Totally.
But then that summer must be just a fuck-a-thon.
People get lit as hell. It's 2 months. Perfect weather.
July,
80 degrees.
August.
Yep. July, August. A little bit of September, but after Labor Day, it's like you're fucked. Starts snowing in October. Gets
every time I
want
to tour in Buffalo, and it's like, oh, let me go when it's nice out.
Yeah.
It's like you just get told, like forbidden by your agent. Like,
yeah.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not going there in February where it snows up. I've seen it snow up. I don't know how.
It surrounds you.
Yeah.
But if you go there in the summer, they'll cancel a Friday show at 8. They're like, no, people just aren't
coming
inside.
Yeah.
It's a crazy. And then people just romanticize the summer for the next 9 months. They're like, no,
remember?
But it's fun in the summer. Remember all the Fish concerts we went to? Or
oh, yeah.
Dave Matthews, The Dead.
One. I should go hang out in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah. You could take your Ecuador trip to Buffalo because... pretty fun. People just drink heavily and argue about like the Bills next season and
oh yeah
eat pizza.
Yeah, Bills are staying, right? They were gonna leave for a minute.
But now they're here, and now they're on that like Super Bowl kick. But I think it's gonna fade,
and nobody's gonna support them
as soon as it's over. Yeah, last season
raw,
they
maybe.
Were in the playoffs for a couple games, and they
were you alive during their four Super Bowls in a row?
I was like 2 years old.
Oh,
so
I wanted to know what they're
crazy in the city. Time.
Yeah, what a weird city. Because also, like, the rest of the super cold towns that I can play in, like Denver, for instance. I remember flying in there when I was opening for Joe Rogan and seeing all the snow out the mm-hmm. window of the plane. And he goes, I think I fucked up with the, like, the routing. Like, this might have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Why did I come? And then he's like, oh, yeah, Denver in February.
Yeah.
Why would I think this would be
right.
nice?
Right.
But now, the one I do it, I'm like, sweet, I can go skiing. I'll stay for 3 days.
Yeah.
Go skiing. Those idiots with families can't do that.
Yeah.
But there's none of that shit in Buffalo.
No.
It's just the cold.
Just the cold. There's one ski place, but you have to drive pretty far there, and the hills are not even steep. And
yeah.
Maybe you could go tubing, which can be fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. In the summer, though? No,
like snow tubing.
Oh.
That requires a little less hills. Tubing on the lake, obviously. But Buffalo, yeah, you pretty much just drink and that's it in the winter when you go there.
Do you ever see Bobby Kelly getting lit up on a fucking tube?
No.
Snow tube?
No.
Are you friends with him at all? Friendly with him?
I know who he is, but...
If you see him, ask him. Tell him I asked you to tell.
Oh, my gosh.
He went in this tube mm-hmm. or whatever, and he, I mean, I don't know. I guess it no matter how heavy an object, it's supposed to fall the same rate, but like it's not true. So
I think it goes faster because I went against my uncle in a water slide once, and he was in the pool way before me, and he's fucking fat. Yeah.
Maybe if it's no resistance or something,
and
I don't know.
And they fall hard.
Yeah, and he just went right past the safety features.
Oh my God.
And like broken arm or something.
Is there a video?
There's a video. Oh, I think he has it on his phone still.
That's hilarious.
Bonked. There he is. He's spinning.
That's amazing.
They were laying into the YouTube.
That's amazing.
Yeah. His son's watching him, and he has to be like, he has to pretend like he's not hurt so his son doesn't lose all faith in his father. Only the little yad.
Snow tubing,
Oh, that sounds like fun, though. But not nearly as fun as skiing.
No, skiing's the shit.
No, Bobby's video. God, my hair gets way sloppier. I think I do too many drugs.
That's what mine looks like.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. At some point, we'll show the fat photo of me. Did we already write that down?
I didn't write down where, but
I don't remember. It's in there somewhere.
Yeah. I know I can write, you know, write normal. And then... what have I not figured out about body dysmorphia and eating disorders?
I think, long story short, if you raise a kid and you talk about how much you hate your body around them... Yeah. They're screwed. So pretty much every kid who was born in the 90s is screwed.
This is one of the reasons I didn't want to have a kid, because it's like, I think it's impossible to fuck them up. And every parent I know says, that's crazy. And I'm like, no, you're fucked up.
You had
nice parents.
Yeah.
And they all want to have kids to say, like, I want to do a job my mom and dad didn't do, or my mom and dad were great and I want to raise my own kids in that style. And it's like, nah, it's not the reason you guys are doing it. You're both lying and for the
you're
same reason.
You're both lying.
But like, it's so easy to fuck them up.
Too easy. They're always going to hate you.
Your mom doing normal woman shit.
Yeah.
She's like, I got to lose 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just screwed over your kid. You're going to make her gain and lose 100
for
pounds
10 years.
In a month.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to suffer through this. And now I'm like, fuck you, Janine. And I'm like, she was just
Janine
a woman.
Janine read Cosmo twice.
Yeah. And Janine's mom told her, you're getting fat.
Really?
So it's like the boomers are fucked up because their parents were so mean. Like Mad Men era parents. And then that turned into the 90s, people always being on diets. And now millennials are just like, blah.
Oh, you're right down the line millennial, or you post-millennial?
Straight millennial, yep.
I think millennials get a bad rap.
I know. What the fuck? Anyway, I don't think I want to have kids. I just feel like it's like not in my, I don't know.
There's plenty already.
There's so many.
For sure, you must know. You're smart enough to know that your feelings might change on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
right
also,
now, no interest.
Right now, no interest. But it's also, you know, it's like... I do have time, but I'm also like almost 30, and then it's when it gets to the smaller digits toward having a baby, when you're like, okay.
What do you mean, like less and less digits left?
Less. Once I turned 28, I was like, oh, I'm in the sub 10 years away marker.
You gotta do it before 40?
I think so, yeah. Unless you want to try, but everyone advises against it.
Yeah.
Planning for 40. I think the goal is to like pretend you don't want them and then, oh my God, we're pregnant at 40.
Wow, that's weird. Your condom had holes in it.
Yeah, totally.
Manufacturer's defect or whatever.
I just feel like I just cleared up a lot of mental health stuff within the last few years. And now I'm like, oh, I'm not going to bring a kid in and I want to go traveling for the next 30 years. And
oh, you can't do that with a kid.
You cannot.
This dog has gotten in my way.
Dogs get in the way.
Yeah, so like you're talking about a kid? Are you out of your mind? At least I can leave a dog with friends for a fucking while.
Yeah, you can leave a dog
with
friends.
My fucking boyfriend's parents for like 6 months if I want to go.
I agree.
Like you're out of your
mind. You can't do that with a kid. You can maybe go to Disney World, but I...
And then it's not going to be fun. It's not.
No.
You can't go to Disney World on acid with a kid.
No, you can't go on acid. You have to go on lemonade.
Also, if you have a kid and you can fuck him up without even trying.
Yeah.
Like you can be screaming at sports on TV while your daughter is looking at like like teeny bopper right. magazine pictures mm-hmm. of some guy they have a crush on.
Right.
And it's like, no, I'll never have a normal relationship ever.
Yeah.
Because my father was screaming.
Because you said, fuck you, you dirty Italian to the TV.
Yeah, well, this was happening. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yes.
Ugh, they don't even know. Why would you have a kid?
They overhear conversations that you don't know they're listening to.
What a pompous thing to do, to have a child.
Yeah. And I also think that...
based on no experience, you're gonna be good.
You're going to be good.
You've read no books, but
no
you want to do it.
Yeah. And also, like, I feel like the people who are like, well, my parents fucked me up, so I'm going to do a good job. They end up being crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They end up being the ones who are like, we're not doing any sugar. You'll be home. Yeah, you know, like. Yeah.
Super protective.
Super protective.
The children of child molesters end up molesting. So that's like them going like, well, my dad molested me, so I'm going to have a kid to show. I'm like, you want to have a kid so you can fuck it.
To show them what? Your fucking balls?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think my main goal in life is not to nurture someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's...
it's so lame. It's such a weird thing of like, that's your whole purpose on this earth.
Yeah.
A lot of women I know are having... issues after menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were raised in a system where it's like, you gotta have a kid. And then once menopause happens, like, your biological, like, worth to the earth is done.
Yeah.
You have no purpose. You're just taking stuff until you die.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what are they here for?
It's so existential.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
Yeah, don't have kids.
The idea,
a vasectomy.
Yeah.
I think that's it. What's your podcast again? I'll say it when I do an introduction.
Oh, yeah. My podcast is called That Time of the Week.
That Time of the Week. Yep. Is that a play on That Time of the Month?
Yep. But it's every week.
Oh, nice.
But when hosts bring me up, they always say That Time of the Month. And then I look like girl comedian.
Oh, yeah. She's on That Time of the Month. I brought up Bobcat Goldthwait once at Sketchfest in New York, in L.A. And I was like, I've loved this guy since I was a kid. Please, everybody, you know him from Revenge of the Nerds, Bobcat Goldthwait. And then didn't even hear myself say it. And he just got up and he's just like, Police Academy.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, what did I? And then I heard it. I'm like, fuck. And after I was saying, like, I've been watching the guy for so long.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was never in Revenge of the, like, it just came out. It was just the right.
Been there.
It sucks.
Dude,
so bad.
What fucking ever. Well, honestly, I've seen people go up and they're like, that bit, he pronounced my name wrong.
Oh,
I'm
fuck
like,
that.
Shut up. Get
Eat
over
shit.
Yourself.
Yeah. Oh, this audience won't respect you now.
Yeah. Good fucking. You know how many people the host has to deal with during the show? Like, shut up. You're one of 10 people. You're doing 10 minutes. Get over yourself.
That's not my credit. Like, luckily, nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody gives a fuck.
We figured out at the comedy store pretty early. It's like, Maddie, you're on next, then Ari. And then if they start, if, like, you're ready to go on, and they start going, like, this next comic has a podcast called Skeptics. Like, please welcome Ari Shaffir.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody looks like, what should we do?
Yeah.
And it's just like, at some point we realize, like, Maddie, still go on.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. So it's like,
that happened to me.
Who gives a shit?
In LA, like, they did a, I was on a Pass the Mic show. That's kind of a thing right now in LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No hosts?
Yeah. And we're like, whatever. But the girl before me, we thought the guy before me wasn't coming, Doug Benson. And then he came. And I was like, if he's there, he'll stand by the stage. She calls my name, and I'm like, he's right there. And Doug's like,
what do I do?
Well, maybe don't name drop him, but I was like, just go on. But then I went on, and after, like, the audience was, like, clapping, like, where
oh,
is
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
But I was literally like, just go on, and just be like, it's supposed to be me. It's so
yeah.
easy to play
it's
off.
So easy.
It was supposed to be me in lineup switch.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
we're all just frozen by it. Oh, that's
yeah.
not my credits. No one will know.
No.
I feel like from Wildin' Out, Maddie Smith, I'm like, hi, guys.
Yeah.
I'm Maddie. Anyway,
yeah. Or
here's
just
my first joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Or nothing.
Or nothing. No one retains anything.
Yeah.
When people get mad about, like, when you get the credit or you say their album wrong, no one is remembering your name or any of your jokes.
My first album, my only album, the local host mispronounced my name when they bring me up.
Yeah.
I was so mad about it because I'm like, oh, that's on my album.
On your album.
Yeah.
How did they say it? Ari
Shaffir.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm recording. Just get my name down.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's so annoying.
That Time of the Week podcast.
Yes. check it out.
You also can see her. I mean, none of you watch Wild and Out, but she's on there.
I'm on there. If you follow me on Instagram, I post my clips, so that's how you can watch.
What does the cannon smell like?
It actually smells good.
I bet.
Yeah, all celebrities smell
good.
Rich
black people, especially. Yeah. They take care of their smell.
I think all of the clothes he wears are new, too. I don't think he repeats any clothing.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I would do that with underwear if I had the power.
Me too. And socks. I would just throw out underwear. He wears like a lot of new sweatsuits. And they all have like the kind of like folded wrinkles on them. I think they're all like brand new.
Damn.
That's the life.
Yeah.
Every celebrity I know has smelled good.
I defended him so hard for that Jew shit. I was so happy to finally have one where I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be mad about. You guys are morons.
Yeah. Everyone's a moron.
Yeah.
But he's crushing it.
Yeah,
he's is rich as hell. So thank you for employing me.
He's not still
me.
Dating Mariah Carey.
No.
Okay, I'm going to stop talking about your boss. I realize it's like, I know if I were you, I'd be like, change the subject. This can't go well.
Anyway, speaking of Mariah Carey, yeah. I love her music.
What happened to them? They were a fucking, what a great couple.
They have kids together.
They do.
Mm-hmm. So I think they're still like friends and stuff.
Them and Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher were like, what a giant, odd age difference.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It had to be for both of them. I'll stop talking about it.
Well, Demi Moore and Ashton, that was a while too.
That was a while.
You know when people start dating and you're like, good luck, you know, Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande, you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But the Demi Moore Ashton was like, that was a decade or something.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
She held on for so long. I know. With her hotness.
He had to be really annoying.
He had to be really annoying.
Right? Ashton Kutcher, what do you think?
He'd have to be annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, anyone who's famous for going on 20 years now,
yeah,
you don't come away with that clean.
No way
you come away from it clean.
There's stuff going on.
Yeah, so you're already probably an annoying person to be like the life of the party. And
yeah,
mix that with being yes man for two decades.
Yes,
Ashton Kutcher.
I think like anyone who's been famous since like their youth,
oh yeah,
they're not even
it.
Fully there.
Forget it,
they're on a different
planet. How much different were you from 21 to 25?
Mm-hmm.
And then like you're not doing any developing if you're famous during those years.
No. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
Was that a firework?
Yeah, she's about to get
it's okay.
Shivery. It's cool, Bennett.
It's
no,
okay.
it was just a little thing.
Little thing.
Look how scared she gets. It's kind of amazing what it does to dogs.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for it.
They react really strongly. Oh, it's okay.
Bennett, come here.
Come here,
buddy. Come here, you're okay, bud. No, don't shiver. That's okay.
Aww.
Oh. She's shivering.
They won't
Fuck
do anything.
These goddamn assholes. Do it on the 4th. It's a week later.
Never. Remember last summer, all the fireworks? Oh, you might have been out of town.
No, I was here.
There was the crazy fireworks.
It was crazy. It was all,
It was wild.
Last time, it's okay.
Really?
It's okay.
Oh.
I gotcha. You're so shivery. It gets worse and worse as it goes. God damn it. Bandit, you want to do a podcast about fireworks
shaking.
And the dangers?
I hate fireworks.
This is so fucking annoying. Anyway, we're about to be done anyway. It's okay, buddy. I got to lock her in the fucking bathroom and play music for her. She won't eat.
I'm the same way.
Dinner soon. She won't eat it. I'm going to take her out to pee, but she won't pee.
Oh, she's shaking.
Yeah.
My gosh.
I'm going to put a thunder vest on. One fucking firework. That's all it took.
One. Single. Is she a rescue? Does she have a past?
She was born into captivity.
Oh.
She was born in to an adopted mom, to an abandoned mom.
Oh, so she has kind of like
her
a
mom
past.
Was a fucking a whore from Texas.
Whore from Texas.
Blind whore that they found knocked up full of her fucking
oh my gosh.
Prostitute babies.
She should be in a Drake song.
Nobody thought. If your mother is a Texas whore, a blind Texas whore, you've come so far. The big city of Manhattan.
Good job.
Shivering at a pop.
Shivering.
Maddie, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You're a really funny comic. I hope you stick with it. Don't get too famous too soon.
Yeah. It always sucks when that happens.
Yeah, try to figure out a way to avoid it, or I don't know, keep doing bad rooms or something.
I think what you have to do is like really focus on your own thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, wait, what's the rush? But also like if you're making money.
Yeah, there's a balance between making money and also like not blowing up too early, because if you're not ready for the world. No, if you're not ready for the world, like
I mean, I would have been a terrible comic if I booked any of those sitcoms that I auditioned for when I was...
I know. Same thing with, like, you know, auditioning for JFL, and everyone wants it now.
Everyone wants it.
You know, everyone...
But then every year you go by, one, you'll get more out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy, I'm sorry. You'll get more out of it if you
Uh-oh, there's another one.
Okay, buddy, go inside.
There's okay, another inside. One.
God damn it.
There's another. God damn it. It's so annoying.
They got this thunder vest that doesn't do shit. She's losing weight. Ugh, she won't eat during all this. And then she won't go to the dog park because she associates outside with that. Right. Anyway, whatever.
Right. But
fuck. I wish there was some warning. Like, at least Israel does fucking flyovers before they fucking bomb a building.
They
They're
play
like,
on
hey.
Your phone the warning, yeah.
Yeah. Just like, hey, in 20 minutes, we're going to set one off.
Yeah.
Get your dogs in the bathroom. God, look at her shiver. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Anyway, good luck. You have like a legit future, so my warning is like real. Like
I literally think about it every day, even more than the cancel culture thing, is the like popping off too early. Because I think early on you get greedy, and you're like, I want this, this, and this. And
yeah.
Or someone was like, I was talking to Keenan's manager, because he's Nick's manager too.
Yeah.
And initially I was like, oh, he could get me on SNL. And I was like, I don't want that right now.
Yeah.
I would want that later.
Because
once
you
pop,
too,
you pop.
She was like she can't do any bad rooms anymore. Cause
who's that?
Corinne Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Because her fans kept showing up.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Why are they even doing it?
It's daytime. Maybe it's M80s. Because her fans kept showing up, so they'd root for her the whole time. So she's like, I'm not getting an honest test here. And so she would have to like, but then like the clubs, they booked her because they're like, you bring in a fan base.
Yeah.
So she's not so big that she can be like, hey, leave my name. Like, Louis C.K. pops into the cellar.
Literally, yeah.
Everybody's stoked. You know, it's an awesome thing. So it's like, we don't need to use your name to promote because like, just the fact that you might come in once in a while.
Yeah.
Chappelle's the same way will help us through the whole week.
Yeah.
Corinne, she's not that big.
Yeah.
So it's like, we want your name to promote.
Mid-level, yeah.
So then it's like, she's not getting an honest reaction. She goes headlines on the road. She's not getting a fucking, like... nobody crowd. Like, you're supposed to just get the first times on the road, you're supposed to get like, yeah, you're good enough to fill the hour.
Literally.
And so you might
anonymous.
Have two people that know you, ten maybe.
Yeah, that's how, that's how I am
right
now.
100 people that don't know you at all, so like, I gotta win them over.
Totally.
So when that goes away, then you're fucked.
I agree.
Which is even when you're a really good comic, you see the celebrity comics, they're not as good as like the young, hungry comics.
I know.
Because they don't get an honest reaction anymore.
It's pretty crazy.
But at least they've developed.
I think like maximizing your time in this like, the early part is huge because, like, Bill Burr didn't pop off till later, and now he's, like, known as the best comic
He booked a sitcom called Townies, moved to L.A.
Yeah.
It failed in a year or half a year or whatever, and then it was, like, the standard route there is, all right, now you're in L.A. going on auditions, but he was, like, moving back to New York, getting back in the grind.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew him from it.
Right.
And then he just kept, like,
cooking.
The Comedy Store used to be a place where, like, no agent or manager came.
Right.
It was a wasteland. My agent actually cashed in on it because he, like, went there and it was like, he saw, like, none of these people had agents.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? You guys are... Because we just kept cooking.
Right.
With no, you know, no one lifted us up.
Yeah.
Bobby Lee was, like, the most successful because he was on Mad TV.
Right.
And Rogan, I guess, had Fear Factor. But, like, no one could help anybody do anything. So we're all just, like, suffering and getting better and getting angrier. And I guarantee she's in the bathroom. Yeah, but then by the time he got there, he was like, Joey Diaz didn't have an agent.
Right.
Renna Zissi was on, like, year two of the league and didn't have an agent.
Right.
Cal and Brett Ernst.
Mm-hmm.
All these people. And he was like, snatch, 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 snatch.
Totally.
But like, I don't know how you replicate that when especially as a girl, you must know they're looking for you. So it's like,
I know they're hounds.
Yeah.
Everyone is a hound. I don't know. I think I want to just keep cooking with Wild and Out. It's like a very good show to like kind of be relatively anonymous with because a lot of people don't watch it except for the people
shows,
who watch
really.
It. Yeah. It's I like mean, every so often people will come out. But I think that's like a good place to be because I also think like it's not. Agents aren't like, oh boy, she's like the eyes on Wild and Out are pretty
right.
The industry eyes on it.
Sam J
low.
Had it good for a bit because she was like a writer,
right?
And so like she wasn't getting any fame; she was getting like some industry heat,
industry
but like
heat.
Nobody was coming to see her. Going, I love your sketch you wrote on SNL.
Yeah,
that wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
So she was still getting honest reactions.
You have to be, I think there's not a lot of mindfulness when it comes into your own, and people just like, yes, 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 of course I'll take that.
Uh-huh.
I think I want to be very like mindful of like everything that comes up.
Smart. You're a smart person. Like, you can look at the mistakes other people have made.
Yeah. And just think, like, in 20 years, do you want to be old news?
Right.
Or do you want to stay...
still be a solid comic.
Yeah. And do you want to not kind of, like... You know, like, Amy Schumer got a little bit of hate for a while, and you're like, okay, how do I not end up, like... How do I maintain, like, staying a working comic without... She kind of did some weird stuff, like, weird publicity stuff.
Well, one way to avoid... not talking about her, but just that kind of thing in general, is don't tell
other
don't tell other comics what to do publicly.
Oh yeah,
so that's a lot of it, is you like telling people how to act or what to do, instead of like, I've said this a billion times, but there was a Silverman interview where they asked her like, what's her line in comedy, and she goes, I don't make fun of women's weight because of this double standard, and women are judged on their weight and their looks, and it's just this thing that it's kind of an unfair way to be judged.
Yeah.
It's like, just because you're chubby, you have now no worth in the world. Right. And it's like a terrible place. So I just don't joke about that. And then they go, so you get mad when, I mean, you see a lot of comedians do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you get mad at them. And she goes, oh, no. Sorry. That wasn't clear. That's just my line for myself. Like, let everyone else do whatever you want.
Do what you want.
That's just
yeah.
my thing. I just don't like to joke about
it.
So as long as you keep that attitude, you won't get the hate. It's the like, it's the hypocrisy or the double, like, you think you're better than me kind of shit. Instead of just like, I like doing jokes about this.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan never says you should be clean or you suck.
No.
Brian Regan never says you should be clean or you suck. Mike Bargatze never says, they're just clean.
You can say what you want in your little trusted group.
Right.
Four.
I talk shit about people.
But publicly, you won't find me sharing Maddie Smith's 100 tips on blah, 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 or like giving any advice or ever doing a class.
Yeah, that's a way to stay away from it.
Or telling people what they can and can't joke about.
Yeah, but then like Michelle didn't stay clear of it, and she's never done that. She's a mainstream degenerate comic, and she's never really said like, you should do this or you're bad, but she got so much hate.
I know, it's...
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's
hard.
It's
coming probably for no matter what.
Yeah, I just want to say I really like the Wildin' Out fans because they're their baseline, like, we'll never cancel you because they love jokes and like I've said some stuff on Wildin' Out that maybe in a regular room would be like, what? Like the white people there were like, are you allowed to say that? And I was like, everyone laughed.
Yeah.
And so I think they're a good base for like, if people start coming at me, they'll be like, don't make fun of Maddie.
Oh, right.
We like her.
Yeah, she does well. She makes jokes.
Yeah.
She's all a fun time.
Yeah.
I was doing At Midnight a bunch,
mm-hmm.
a couple of times. And after the second time, they gave me a note that, after the first time, like, you can't keep doing abortion jokes.
Okay.
Because... we can't use it. But it was like a game system. Like, if the crowd laughed, they give you points.
Yeah.
So I'd constantly be getting like Hardwick, who I'm friendly with, friends, except I haven't talked to him in a long time. But like, he would just be like, oh, points.
Yeah.
But like, he was like, cause it's too harsh for him.
Yeah.
But they're like, don't do those jokes because we got to cut around, and then suddenly your points are going up. And I was like, fuck off. Change your sensors. I'm getting the points.
Literally.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Change your sensors.
Not be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
And that's like the line on Wildin' Out where you say some crazy stuff, but they're like, we can't put that on.
Right.
So.
I mean, I get that too. It's
like,
here's the game you signed up for.
But there is some sort of like off camera respect that you get for saying crazy stuff. They're like, it won't be in, but we love you.
Yeah. Make the editors laugh.
You make the editors laugh.
That's so solid.
I did like a roast on the show against a celebrity guest, and it was like way too harsh. And all her entourage was like, yo, you killed our girl. It's not going to be in, but we love you.
Yeah.
So it was like a line between maintaining your voice and also kind of playing to like TV, to the 14-year-olds watching.
Yeah. You know what will help you is like those 14-year-olds will be 24-year-olds in just a decade.
I know.
And they'll be like a little when you were actually like seven texts, like, oh yeah, I used to love you.
Yeah, totally.
There's three types of fans of people who come to your show, and it's whatever percentage. It's hardcore, I'll never miss you anytime you're in town. And that starts like nothing, then a little bit, and then gets bigger and bigger. Then the other extreme is, I don't know, let's go to the improv on a Saturday.
Yeah.
They don't know you at all.
Yeah.
And then the middle range is you're checking over like the month of comedy clubs at the Buffalo Helium and maybe some other club. And you're like, who's, let's go sometime this month. Who's good? It's like, oh, I've heard of her. Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Right.
Oh, that, let's go to that one.
Yeah.
So like I've heard of you was, mm-hmm. it's going to get bigger in like 10 years, right? When
definitely.
You want it.
Yeah. And then the hardcore
will grow slowly.
That's when you're like, all right, I'm older. I'm ready to kind of like bring a notebook on and toss stuff out to you guys.
On a weekday.
Because you already like me.
Yeah.
When I find myself like complaining about like, you know, like a Ryan Broth gig, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, you're at still
some,
working.
Yeah, at some point you'll be in rooms where people are like, yeah, and you'll be like, this is why you work in the shitty rooms.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of just like float.
Yeah.
When you're there.
I had Lisa open for me, Traeger open for me in Toronto. Yeah. And I was like, hey, by the way, this is my crowd. It was like a place I do really well.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my crowd. You can do like whatever you want. They don't care.
Yeah.
And then she did some like open with like seven just filthy minutes and it was crushing.
Yeah.
And then she goes, Ari said I could do whatever I wanted here. And they were all like, you can.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like, yeah, those are hilarious. Fun too. But yeah, enjoy the Ryan Broth gigs in the meantime.
That's, yeah, in the meantime. They're fun in their own way. If you point out like you guys kind of suck, they're like, we do. Uh-huh. Weird Connecticut people.
The old casino were like, how many of you were just comped in because you lost a bunch of money? And
yeah.
It was like a percentage of the crowd. I'm like, neither one of us want each other here.
Neither. The casino gigs are humiliating for both parties.
And there's nowhere to go afterwards.
Nope. You're just in the mall.
Fuck.
Everything's, yeah, it's awful. It's funny, though.
Yeah. You can't even go, there's nowhere to, it's like surrounded by woods and no hikes to go on.
No hikes. Comics Mohegan is like middle of nowhere.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, Maddie, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. I appreciate you too. You're funny chick. The episode. How'd you like it? I thought it was very interesting. Did you see how much she was shriveled up over there? Fucking out of it she was. I'm sorry, Maddie. If you're listening, that's probably the better way to do it.
Mosquitoes.
Does anybody ever have like that fucking fungus in their toe for like 10 years? And then you like reach in between your toe and then you like smell it and it smells like you would expect it to? Yeah, me neither. Everybody follow Maddie. So Maddie Smith. M-A-D-D-Y. So Maddie Smith on Instagram. Fuck Twitter. I don't even know if she's on there. Tell her I sent you. I put up a new video on my YouTube. A new stand-up video. And I'm going to have another one about those Miami, the building that fell. And then I'll have my special, my old special up there August 2nd. So check out Ari Shaffir. YouTube.com/AriShaffir. All my yogas are on there. It's a playlist. Stand-up podcast playlist, the fake commercials that every time I do a, if you're listening to this, every time I do a commercial for 3Chi or Yo Kratom, YouTube will take it down. So I have to replace that with a commercial, a fake commercial. So I just fucking fake one. But they're all there on YouTube. You don't have to watch a YouTube version because they're all separated now and you can put them on there later. Marissa Pellegrino makes them. And they're fun. But everything's up there anyway on my YouTube, youtube.com/AriShaffir. But definitely keep listening to this, everybody, because I'll have more announcements for tour dates coming soon. Fucking Baltimore was crushing. What a fun time. What a fun time in Austin. I love doing stand-up again, you guys. And I'm not thinking about any of the bad shit, only the good shit. Let's have a great time for the rest of the summer and the rest of eternity. Everything in the news is there to get you down, so just ignore it and enjoy yourself. I'm Ari Shaffir, and I'm here to tell you if you want to throw up, to lose weight, I'm not going to stop you. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? Is it barfing? Do you get that sensation after you throw up of like, I hope nobody saw that, but I liked it. Kind of the way I did when I masturbated when I was younger. You never get masturbated when you're younger and you're like, what a terrible person I am. I'm an awful person. I can't stop doing this degenerate thing. Then later you find out it's completely normal. And you were beating yourself up, but you were feeling good. And bulimics? Who knows? Maybe the tide will change. Maybe the people will stop beating you up over that. And you won't have to be embarrassed about it anymore. Maybe. And if they do, All you'll have left is the feeling. So don't not enjoy the feeling, that fresh feeling of barf, of feeling new and clean on the inside. I get it. I get your struggle. You want acceptance. And Ari Shaffir here is saying, I accept you, bulimics. I accept you. And anorexics too. You look great. You took it a little too far, but just a little. Don't get fat. Just go back to a bit normal. You know what I mean? People say I like some junk in the trunk. I don't. No, I like some junk. But like, you know, like a fucking... you know, a jumper cable. Not all your fucking camping equipment in the trunk. This is what I should have done for the fucking intro. Yeah, I should do it again. She calls me Goliath and I wear the David mask. I guess the stones are coming to face her now. You know I'd like to believe this nervousness will pass. All the stones that are thrown are building up a wall. Yeah. Too poor, she's wanting me less and I'm wanting her more. The bitter taste is gone so. No, yeah, no, no, no. No, 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 yeah. One with a narrow end across, godless of the bottoms. Life has been cumbersome. Too heavy, too light, too black or too white, too wrong or too right. Day or tonight, cumbersome. Too rich or too poor, she's wanting me less and I'm wanting her more. The bitter taste.